Alpha Team is flying around the forest zone situated in Northwest Raccoon City, where we're searching for the helicopter of our compatriots, Bravo Team, who disappeared during the middle of our mission.
No, I haven't found it yet.
Bizarre murder cases have recently occurred in Raccoon City. There are outlandish reports of families being attacked by a group of about 10 people. Victims were apparently eaten. Bravo Team went to the hideout of the group and disappeared.
Look, Chris!
It was Bravo Team's helicopter. Nobody was in it. But strangely, most of the equipment was still there. However, we soon discovered why.
Hey! Come here!
There are only three STARS members left now. Captain Wesker, Jill, and myself. We don't know where Barry is.
Chris Redfield. Jill Valentine. Barry Burton. Rebecca Chambers. Albert Wesker.
Leroy!
Resident Evil.
And welcome to episode 80 of Evil Amateur Radio here in 1170 WACV, the Big 8-0, and happy Halloween. In case you couldn't tell. That was a long one. Hopefully all of you enjoyed that. Who could recognize it? And those of you that didn't, that was Resident Evil. You should go and check it out. So
the original, that's the original introduction from the PlayStation version.
Mm-hmm. The big box PlayStation games.
Yeah.
Yes, remember those? Yes.
Oh, the long box.
Before the little CD cases.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, yeah, that's where that's from. So thanks for joining us for episode number 80 here of Evil Avatar Radio. We've got a lot of people in the chat room. You can join us in there. If you want to call in and talk to us, the number is 334-272-9228. If you'd like to shoot us an email while we're broadcasting, feel free to do so. Everyone at evilavatarradio.com is how you can get in touch. So James actually informed me to use the intro to Resident Evil. He's like, oh, you should get that.
Well, because we were talking about you never played it. Mm-hmm. You wanted something.
I played the GameCube version.
Yeah, different. Yeah. That's a different thing
altogether.
Yeah,
it is. Yes.
You did, but you originally said you didn't think it would be good for an intro because it might not be recognizable. But
well, I didn't know how much audio.
Yeah,
like actual speaking audio.
Was
like,
quite a bit back in that time. Mm-hmm. They were still attached to the idea of live action FMV during the very beginnings of the first PlayStation.
So I didn't know if it was more of a visual thing than it was, because horror is kind of a visual thing. There are some, like scary, I guess. There are some audible ways to go about it.
Now I would say that every ounce of the cheese comes across really clearly in the audio.
Don't go!
Yeah. Yeah. That's about the kind of face he made, too.
Yeah, really?
That scene. Yeah.
That's good.
That was great stuff. It was scary, though. It was really scary. There was something actually about the fact that it was so ugly that made it scary. You know, the same way that, like, a disfigured corpse is really scary, so is, you know, bad acting in an FMV.
That first zombie that looks over its shoulder at you.
That was a seminal moment for a very long time.
Oof.
Yeah.
For both the GameCube version and I played the PlayStation version, I remember that. But
yeah.
I only played the PlayStation version up to that point. That guy turned around and looked at me and I was like, yeah, the lights are coming on.
And see,
on.
Then what did you do? Because you were dealing with a control scheme that most people had never played before at that point.
Yeah.
So basically what you did is you spun around in weird circles and then ran into the corner of the wall and then died. So, like, that's mostly what you did because you were freaked out because you couldn't control it very well.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice to see the way that the various fixed camera perspectives and the control scheme affected your sense of fear. You know, because you never really knew, like... Because it was camera relative movement or character relative.
You didn't know what was on the other side of that, not necessarily from the point of view.
Yeah, you could just be walking around a corner and you would never
especially
know what
if
was
you're
there.
Running away from one, you go through and then the camera
changes
and it's from behind you.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, how far away from me? And then all of a sudden you see his arm kind of creep
good,
in and it's
man.
Like, oh, crap.
It was good.
And your way's
Jill
blocked
sandwich
off
and everything, man. It was a good game.
Master of Unlocking.
It was also a game, and I think. I remember Matt Van Hatten telling a similar story. I had the same experience. I rented the game not long after I got my PlayStation, but there was no box art or anything in the store to tell you what kind of game it was. It was just Resident Evil. I'd heard Resident Evil.
Oh,
I rented it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Take it
home, start playing. I skipped the opening intro, so I didn't realize going into it that this was like a horror game.
Yeah.
You know, it just looked like some sort of malicious shoot 'em up.
Yeah, Matt said he just thought it was some militant, you know, good guys, bad guys type of game. Because the couple of screenshots he had seen up to that point were some guys with guns.
Yeah.
And it's like, these are some SWAT team guys and they got guns. That's great. I can identify with that and be happy about it.
So I started the game, you know, and here's some gunfire. One of the guys wanders off to check it out and, you know, disappears and find the zombie eating the guy and his head falls off. And then the other guy is left and he's like, hey, we need to split up. I'm like, no, that's a terrible idea. I'm going to go in here. Well, I'm going with you. Well, then, of course, he was nowhere to be found.
No, you're not.
They're like, I'm not going down that hall he wanted me to go down. Something terrible's going to go happen if I go down that hall.
And that was the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Something terrible's going to happen if you go down that hall.
Yeah, I did the stupid thing once when I had the PlayStation, when I was borrowing it from a friend of mine. He was out of town or something, so I was like, hey, can I borrow your PlayStation? And so I played it, and I rented a bunch of different... Resident Evil was one. Clock Tower, either 2 or 1, was another one I rented. That was not a good night. I don't know how much of those games I played. I think I watched the intro of each, and then I'm like, yeah, that's enough for me. Too much of a pansy.
When I finally did go down the hall, the dogs jumped through the window, and I, you know, tossed the controller in the air, and I didn't play the game for
There's another poop-your-pants moment right there, wasn't it?
Another 3 or 4 years before I actually played Resident Evil after that.
GameCube version.
No, I played the PlayStation version.
Yeah, because they kept doing the sequels. But we've already got a phone call, actually. Glenn from PlayStation Nation. Glenn, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, first time calling in? I believe so.
Yeah, I used to talk to Phil quite a bit on the old show.
Oh, well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Are you in the chat room right now? Or?
Oh, yeah. I'm Torgo in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool. It's Torgo. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The Master Please. Up. Yeah, exactly. Which I think is where you got that name from, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
the hands of fate. Good job. Hey, what you calling in for tonight? What's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to let everybody know that on our show last week, Phil Kohler actually sat in as our guest host.
Yeah?
Oh, great.
So I figured some people might be interested, and also we had an hour-long interview with, I don't know, some people might have heard of him, this guy named David Jaffe. So
what's he do?
I guess he works on some kind of game. He did some game called Call of something, or God of, I don't know, Calling All War or something.
God of Gears? No, that's not it. Yeah, no. He was actually the answer for our trivia question last week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, that's cool. You know, I need to talk to Phil, actually. Phil, I talked to him recently because there was some money misplaced in the Evil Avatar Radio Fund. That mysteriously showed up out of nowhere from someone, and we had to figure out who it was from. But, yeah, I talked to him just recently here. So,
I see.
But, yeah, he was on your show?
We had Phil on for the whole 2.5-hour show, yeah.
Wow, he's got that much to say, huh?
He had quite a lot to say, and actually I was very happy that he was on when we had David Jaffe on. He definitely brought some good answers to the, to this discussion, and, we just let Jaffe kind of roll with it, and he went for quite a while, which was awesome.
That's right. You know, Jaffe's got that new, it's a new development company, isn't it?
Yeah, Eat, Sleep, Play. He talked a little bit about the Twisted Metal port they're doing. He really wasn't allowed to talk about much more of it. He had checked with Sony that day, and they just didn't want him to talk too much about it. But we got a few things out of him. So
very cool. Very cool. We'll check that out.
I just thought I'd call you guys and plug it a little bit.
You guys on iTunes?
Yeah, we're on iTunes. Just search for PlayStation Nation.
All right.
We're also out on VGEVO.com, and I still post on Evil Avatar forums quite a bit. So.
Yes, you do. I've seen your name pop up there.
Yep.
So. It's always a fun thing to see Torgo.
it's always better when I'm drunk.
So. Isn't everything?
Well, for me it is. It masks the horror that is my life.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks so much.
I appreciate taking the call.
We'll check out the podcast.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, don't forget to plug us on your show.
Oh, I always do.
Talk to you later, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we've got tons of news to get into. We're going to be talking with some people from the Sim Exchange later on this hour as well. You ever wanted to talk to an analyst? Well, we're going to have one on to talk about how do you analyze numbers in games. He loves to talk about this industry, and as do we, in case you can't tell. So we're going to have him on a little bit later on. But let's jump into some news here. In fact, let me go ahead and start with the releases of the week, what we're getting out on on our consoles this weekend or whatever we're getting this week. Sunday, Guitar Hero 3 came out. If you went to Sears, you got it on, I think, Tuesday of last week, or at least I did. And, in fact, by Sunday, I had already finished the medium career, so now I'm going back into the... Yeah, I'd already gotten done with it. So I'm going back through the easy career and going through that. And I may take a stab at the hard again. I've always... With each Guitar Hero release, I've tried the first song on hard, and then I'm like, nope, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with having an extra fret in there.
I hate that pinky button.
Mm-mm,
I don't want to do it.
Anyway, that comes out. We've also got Battalion Wars 2 on the Wii that came out today. Manhunt 2 for the PSP, the PS2, and the Wii. Stranglehold for the PS3, a game that I already thought was out.
See, this is exactly what we were talking about last week. Plenty of reasons to buy that specific game on the PS3. That would have been actually one of the games that came along if you had both systems. Like, great reasons to buy it on the PS3. But it didn't make it, and it was like, oh, well, I guess, you know, it'll come out sooner or later.
Yeah.
It turns out it was later, apparently, rather than sooner.
I thought it was already out.
So did I. I saw the headline. I was like, what is this about? This, I don't understand. And then I read it. I was like, oh, I feel so bad because it really should have been out a long time ago.
Yeah, I already thought it was out. It's bad of me. Let's see. Tomorrow we're getting, as I look through here real quick, Tabula Rasa for the PC comes out tomorrow.
Maybe.
The Simpsons game hits a bunch of different consoles. That comes out. And if you played the demo, you may or may not have decided on it. If it came with co-op, which I don't think it does.
No. I don't think it does either, which that's really stinky because that first mission would have been much improved by co-op.
Well, think about it. Our first experience with the Simpsons game was in the arcade with four people playing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the best way. That's the best Simpsons game that they had done. And then when they started doing the console stuff, it wasn't really that great. But,
well,
man,
but
that arcade game was great.
It's because they put you in a situation where you are sort of co-oping. I mean, they kind of make it into a tag team, but it's Bart and Homer, you know? Just, even if it's local co-op.
Yeah.
You know, let me co-op it, please. I would prefer network play, obviously, but I don't know. It just wasn't very fun. It was extremely frustrating to do all the types of tag team gameplay they wanted you to do. I didn't like it. I'm sure a lot of people did. It looked pretty good, but yeah, I don't know. It's a pass.
Yeah. We also have The Witcher for PC tomorrow, Time Shift for the PC and 360, Virtual Fighter 5 for the 360, Viva Pinata Party Animals for the 360 there. Good little game for your little Wednesday night crew that you get together there, Jeremy. Probably be a lot of fun there. I don't know. Hellgate London on Wednesday for the PC. Big, long-awaited release there. And that's it for your game releases. Well, actually, the Virtual Console... We got Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest today for 500 Wii points. Samurai Ghost from the TurboGrafx-16 era, 600 Wii points. And Magician Lord, Neo Geo, for 900 Wii points. And we get Mutant Storm Reloaded for the Xbox Live Arcade this week. So there you go. That's what you've got. And it comes with co-op, by the way. Xbox Live co-op. So that's what we're getting this week as far as game releases are concerned. As far as news is concerned, Greg's Fortune went gold last week, which is nice to hear. Love it when games go gold, especially for the PS3.
You can pick that up.
I am going to get that.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
No, I am going to get that.
I really want to see it. And yeah. If you don't pick it up, I probably won't be able to see it directly.
Exactly.
This is beyond my normal satisfying my own greed by making you buy things.
Yeah,
I just want to see it.
I already denied you Ace Combat.
Yeah, you really did. I'm not exactly happy with you about that.
I'm sorry. But you know what? Denying you Ace Combat will allow me to purchase Drake's Force.
Don't lie.
I am lying.
Don't lie.
But that's the best way I can go through that.
Don't lie to me.
I'm just saying it's... You can
lie to the chat room if you want, but I know better, pal. You just didn't want to pick it up.
I just realized spending that much money for one game and for a peripheral that I'll probably only use for a little bit until... Look what I did with the wheel, with the racing wheel. Played it for a bit, and then I sold it.
Why couldn't you have done that here?
I didn't make as much back. Unless you wanted to buy it for full price. So yeah, Stranglehold went gold for the PS3, as you know, because it comes out tomorrow. Drake's Fortune is another one that went gold. Assassin's Creed went gold this past week actually as well. So lots of good games going gold. We got the patch for the Orange Box for TF2.
Yeah, they were a little bit behind, man. I had gotten in and played a few matches of TF2. I really wanted to see what it was like this past week, and they really like. It really was very laggy. It wasn't altogether enjoyable. I had a little bit more trouble with it than I wanted. I could see how it would be something really fun. Mm-hmm. I was kind of attached to it the minute I got into a game, but I had a lot of latency issues. So I just decided to put it down and wait for the patch. And when I finally got it, I was able to load up my machine and apply the patch, but I just haven't had a chance to play it. There are too many things out there in the real world that are getting in the way, which means that the only thing left to do is to get rid of all those real world obligations so I can do more stuff like play some games.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I didn't actually get a chance to see if the patch had a huge effect or not. I haven't seen a lot of people talking about it, so maybe that means that, you know, they're all playing the game. I hope that's the case because it was a significant enough factor mm-hmm. in how it was playing on the 360 to make me not want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Also, last week we got new download content from Forza 2 that the price actually got lowered because there was a lot of uproar.
Thanks to all the QQing on the internet, yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I'm glad to hear that. If that's what it takes to lower it, we'll keep doing that.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero song packs, I'm talking to you. Actually, I want individual songs released for that. Rather than giving me two songs that I don't want and one song that I do.
It's like the music industry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's just like buying a CD. At the very least, though, they could have just released all the tracks. How many have they done now? Two? Two packs of three songs? Or
I think so. Two or maybe three.
Yeah, that's still not enough. I'm really disappointed in that because there's a couple of things that I would like to have had. But whatever. I'm severely over that now because I have a minimum of like $200 worth of games to buy next month. That's not counting collector's editions, which I haven't decided if I'm going to get. That's not counting any additional purchases I decide I can't live without. That's COD 4, that's Mass Effect, that's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. I always throw in Rock Band, but then I forget.
No. I don't care.
Not on that.
Nope. Well, and isn't, what's the date on Kane and Lynch? Is that still next month?
Kane and Lynch is, yeah, is it's, December it's now? The week of the 19th.
Yeah, great. Never mind.
There you go, more
you
stuff.
Like $240. That's excellent.
And you don't even own a PS3.
No, because then it would be Ratchet & Clank, Eye of Judgment, and Drake's Fortune.
Ratchet & Clank looks really good.
I'm really happy.
Nice to be playing my PS3.
Your PS3, man.
But I tell you what, every time I finish a level, I'm really sad that I don't have a little thing popping up at the bottom.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have a little click sound telling me that I got an achievement.
I'm really sorry about that.
I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm just used to that.
I'm sorry it's such a great game that doesn't have some sort of, you know, little auditory cue that to make you salivate or otherwise.
You do kind of expect it, though, when you finish it. You're like,
I know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's not going to happen. Play on the PS3. It's not going to happen.
I've gotten little WEM rentals from Gamefly that I, like, load up, and then I look at the achievement list, and I'm like, forget this, man. And it's like taking it out of the tray and put it away. Like, 4 achievements for beating it on the 4 different difficulty levels? No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a criminal thing to do, but I really have done that. It really is a... I don't know. It is satisfying.
Also, last week, we had plenty of news. In fact, every day there is news about this game, but the big 2 hits that we had last week were the save films and sharing for Smash Brothers Brawl, and, of course, the build-your-own-level for Brawl.
So there's every other Nintendo game, and then there's Smash Brothers Brawl.
Yeah.
Am I the only person seeing this now? That there's everything else they're doing. Like, this thing is now in a category beyond Twilight Princess, beyond Galaxy, beyond Metroid Prime. Like, those were all apparently very good games, or Galaxy hopefully will be. But this thing is like... Every week, it's some new character, or some new feature, or something, and it's not really like these aren't really Wii-centric features that they're adding. I mean, a lot of the characters aren't even from Nintendo properties.
Sonic and Solid Snake.
Yeah, so there's that, and we've already talked about the fact that the best input method is just going to be the old standard controller. Controlling this thing anyway. Definitely. You know, user-created content that's going to be uploaded and available via Nintendo's site daily.
Yeah.
You know, like all of this stuff, this is stuff that can be done on any other system. They're doing it for this one game. Like, could they not maybe spread some of this around a little bit? Like, for someone like me, who appreciates the style of gameplay but doesn't necessarily have any other interest in the system, this is approaching system seller. This type of thing. The level of development that they're pouring into this one title is really astonishing to me, because it's something that they're not doing on anything else on that system. Nothing. I don't understand it. Scott and I were joking earlier that, like, Is this the last thing they're ever going to do?
Yeah.
Are they all a part of some strange cult that's going to be taken up into an alien spaceship? You know, after this game goes gold, are they all going to commit seppuku or something? And this is like their masterpiece that they want, you know. I don't know. I don't get it. It's just so strange.
Man, I really...
Hey, here's this. And everybody's like, oh, this is great. Best game ever. And then they're like, oh, yeah, well, here's this. And they're like, more best game ever. It's best-er than it was. You know, it's like, and I agree, it looks really cool. And if you're at all a fan of the series and the gameplay, I think it's fantastic.
I don't know if you got to be a fan of the series, more or less a fan of Nintendo in general.
No, I'm not saying you do. I'm saying if you are,
then this
is like head explode type of awesome, you know? And I'm like, this is great. Do this more. How about this only more? I doubt that's going to happen. I think it's the funniest thing in the world. Good for them that there's going to be a game on that system. You know?
I don't know that they will ever make another Smash Brothers game after this.
That's fine.
It's going to take a lot to top it, but...
Yeah, well, I agree. What else do you want?
It's kind of like that big Mortal Kombat game that came out for the last-gen systems, like the final Mortal Kombat, but it has, I don't know, God knows, it has almost every character from all the games playable right in there. But no, right. You know, I mean, there's still stuff that Nintendo's doing here with the sharing of the save films and things like this.
Yeah, if they had released this game a year ago in the state that we understood it to be in a year ago, I think people would have been more than satisfied. And it's just every little piece of time from then to now has been either they're just adding stuff that they think is great, or they had some phenomenal list of things they wanted in the game but weren't sure they were going to be able to ship. So as time has gone on and they realize they're actually going to be able to keep or complete certain features and still meet their deadlines and everything, they've announced them. It's like, okay, we can keep this. We'll announce it and say we're going to be able to do this. That's all I can imagine, because it seems ridiculous that they would just be throwing stuff on time after time.
Just before the release, they'll say that unlockable minigame will be Spore.
Right.
If you beat it on the, you know, the hardest difficulty, you unlock Spore.
Can you get Will Wright playable in Smash Brothers? That would be awesome.
I wouldn't even be surprised if it happened. I'd just be like, oh, well, you know.
Not at this point. I mean, I remember seeing the original videos, and I'm like, Solid Snake, that's insane. Now I'm like, that's not even remotely the most crazy thing going on in this game. And that's really crazy.
It is.
Speaking of Will Wright and Smash Bros., isn't the little green-haired SimCity guy from the Super Nintendo version an assist trophy?
Yes, he is an assist trophy. Yeah. He appears in Raise the Skyscrapers underneath everybody.
What won't they think of next?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't. You know, maybe this is a direct effect, like some sort of... There's like... I don't know. Some sort of ethereal effect of like Will Wright's love of the Wii translating to this game. It's actually feeding this game, and it's blossoming under his under his care. He's graced it with Spore now.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
Channeling all that potential into this one particular.
Well, he
title.
Thinks it's the only next gen system. I think that's a little nutty. He's had a lot to say this week. That's the only thing I think is slightly nutty.
Which I haven't really brought that up because I know we've got plenty of time to go over that and Sony and everything else. But we're going to take a quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk with a couple of guys from the Sim Exchange, give you an idea of what's going on with the Sim Exchange, what that actually is, how it relates to Evil Avatar. And we'll talk more about that here coming up next on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Not really game-related music, but it is Halloween-themed, so I might as well. I got a classic scary theme coming up later on.
Well, thanks for telling me, because it'll be a lot scarier now that I know it's on the way.
It scared me a long time ago.
Okay.
But you'll definitely...
Is it normal mode on a game?
Easy mode. Yeah, it's normal mode. I understand what you're saying. Anyway,
making fun of you.
You are, I know. trust me, it's coming over quite clear. I catch what you're throwing. Anyway, back to the show, or my endless ridicule on the show. Whichever it is, whichever works best for you.
Yep.
Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Got two guys from the Sim Exchange on. In fact, we've got the founder, and we've also got their analyst as well. Let me plug them through here. I think they're both in. Hey, Brian, Jesse, you guys there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, Jesse, does it sound better? We were talking on the phone earlier about the audio quality. Is it any better for you?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yes.
All right, great.
Well, can you hear me fine?
I can hear both of you quite well.
Great.
We've got Brian, and I just asked him to go, Xiao, is that correct?
Yes, Brian Xiao is my name.
Brian Xiao, he is the founder of the Sim Exchange, and if you want to check it out, just go to simexchange.com, simexchange.com. And, Brian, tell us a little bit about what is the Sim Exchange. Explain it to us.
All right. Real quickly, it's actually thesimexchange.com.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We had some squatter was sitting on thesimexchange.com, so we couldn't get the precise domain that we wanted. But just to sim it up, basically, what the Sim Exchange is, it is a fantasy football game for gamers. We know that gamers like to predict what's happening in the industry, just like sports fans. They want to know if the PS3 or the Xbox 360 or the Wii is going to be the best-selling game system, and we believe the Sim Exchange is the game to allow you to make those predictions. Basically, it works using stock market mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of investing in companies you think will do well, what you want to do is invest virtual money in games that you think will sell well. So first of all, it's totally free to play, and there's no real money involved. So all you have to do is go to our website, which is thesimexchange.com, sign up, and then you get a free account with 1 million DKP to start trading. DKP is the name of our virtual currency. For
That's
people
awesome.
Who play World of Warcraft or EverQuest, you'll know that as a gaming term. Basically, how it works is that the stock prices are forecasts for how well a game will sell. So if a stock is currently priced at 100 DKP, that means that the game is predicted to sell 1 million units. So if you think the game will sell more than that, then you would want to buy the stock. And if you think a game will sell less than that, then you would want to short sell the stock.
Right. Works, I'm not too familiar with, like, the fantasy football stuff. However, I am familiar with, like, the Hollywood Stock Exchange and stuff like that that you can mess around with, and that's exactly how I was able to relate it to myself, is to figure out how that whole system works. Now, you guys have a relationship with the NPD, don't you?
Yeah, we feature three different kinds of forecasts on our site. One of the original one that we started with were global lifetime sales forecasts, and these are what we call stocks. And basically, well, when you're trading this, you're trying to forecast how a game will sell around the entire world over the game's entire lifetime. The second type of forecast we introduced was what we call an NPD future. And how that works is what you're trying to do is forecast the data that the NPD group releases. And just in case people aren't familiar with them, they're the big market research firm that really covers the video game industry. They collect all the retail data and compile it to measure how each video game product is selling. And so what we allow players to do is you can trade what we call NPD futures to forecast the console sales each month, how the Xbox 360 will sell in November, or how a particular game will sell in a particular month, such as how Halo 3 will sell in November. And these contracts, their forecasts are basically judged against the actual data that NPD Group releases.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have the three home consoles, the two portables, and 10 games that we track, along with the size of the software industry for that particular month. So you can also try to predict, you know, how big video game sales will be for that month. And our third forecast is actually with Metacritic. For people who aren't familiar with them, they are a website that aggregates reviews and weighs them, you know, based on how credible the critic is, and assigns what they call a Metascore. And our third product is what we call a Metacritic future that allows you to predict basically how good a game will be based on the reviews.
Man, you guys have really thought this through.
We are hoping it's both, you know, fun and entertaining for the gamers, but at the same time, it's worthwhile for everyone involved. Especially a lot of the gamers tell us that for them it's been a fun way to learn about the real stock market, which I personally believe investing is a skill that everyone should have a feel for, because it's very essential for everybody. And while it also makes a meaningful impact for the industry, because what you're doing when you're playing this game is you're making these forecasts that are actually very useful for the industry. For example, in one way, it's kind of a real-time market indicator for how a company is marketing one of their games. For example, say they do an interview and they're, you know, talking about the new multiplayer feature for the game, and our players, you know, when they're reading these interviews, they immediately realize whether or not this is going to improve the game's sales or decrease the game's sales or improve the game's ratings, and they immediately will trade the stock to reflect this information. So it's actually also, while it's a game, it's also a useful market research tool for people in the video game industry. And so for people you know, who might not be participating in the game itself, they can always come to our website and use it as a resource to basically understand what the public thinks will sell and what won't sell, mm-hmm. or how good a game will be.
Yeah, it was interesting. I went over there a couple of days ago to check things out and just look over, and there was just tons and tons of data to look over. The different consoles, the different games on those consoles, and then all the other statistics that go within each of those. Just a lot of data there to look over and just kind of take in. It's a ton of stuff. So, and it's interesting. What's the relationship that I know there's an interesting relationship that you guys have with Evil Avatar, with the community. And what can you explain a little bit about that relationship?
Well, what we're trying to do right now is that you know, we've made a pretty big impact in the I guess the investment in the professional community, and what we're really trying to expand in right now is the gaming community. And we kind of felt that Evil Avatar was, you know, the perfect place to really reach out to gamers. And what we're trying to do with Evil Avatar, there's a lot of things we're in the works of doing, but one of the things right now is we're trying to create almost like a league for evil avatar users, mm-hmm. so they can play against each other in this league on the Simic.
Uh-oh.
That's kind of where we're at right now.
You there? Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Oh, just real quickly, you know, we are always open to suggestions. You know, we are very open to what our community wants to do. You know, we launched back in November, and the way that our community and the Sim Exchange has developed is entirely based on the community feedback, what they want to see in our game. You know, we encourage you guys to come to our site, try it out, understand how it works, and we're always open to suggestions on how we can improve the site or make it more entertaining for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, is Brian, are you on the line right now?
Yes.
Okay, I think we lost Jesse. Yeah, in fact, we did lose Jesse. Whoa, that's an odd sound. Hang on. Brian, you still there? Okay, we're having some phone troubles. I don't know what the hell that was. We lost both. Hopefully they'll call right back, though. I have no idea what just happened then. We had some odd phone happenings go on there. But anyway, that's exactly what the Sim Exchange is. And if you head on over to thesimexchange.com, you can find out all about it because I gave out the wrong URL earlier. So, but it's an interesting little stock market exchange thing, but for video games, basically.
We all do this to some extent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We are all armchair analysts. It's one of the things that's really exploded in this generation of gaming is that we've all become more aware of and concerned with the details and the minutiae of what the analyst's job has always been. It's become a much more important aspect of the fandom. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not necessarily just about those games. We all understand a lot now about how complicated and costly time in this industry is, so it's something that we've all kind of got our heads around anyway, only it's an intelligent and very organized way of sort of spending those opinions instead of just, you know, dumping them into empty space like
we
often
find
do.
Out who's the best.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can actually go back and, you know, waggle your finger at the people who were wrong if you weren't smart enough to save that particular thread where somebody was running their mouth.
Exactly. Hey, we got Brian back on the line there. We had some phone problems, man. I apologize about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm back on the line.
Okay, good. I'm glad you are. But anyway, go ahead and finish what you were saying as far as the relationship with Evil Avatar and how that's working.
Okay. So one of the ideas that we'd had would be creating a league for Evil Avatar members in that they could be able to directly compete with each other. One of the driving motivators for players is to climb our global rankings, and we also keep monthly rankings to compare how people do.
Yeah, we love rankings. We love leaderboards.
And so you can, you see other, you know, Evil Avatar members on your web community, and you can see, you know, how your web predictions are comparing against their predictive abilities. Because, you know, people are always shooting their mouth about, you know, this is their prediction in the message board, and, you know, why they're right, but now you can really test, you know, who is the best predictor here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good stuff, and we're glad you guys have joined up with us and giving us this the exclusive. You give us the numbers ahead of time, correct?
Sorry.
You give us the numbers ahead of time. Your month by month statistics.
So you know, we publish a report right before. The week before NPD releases their data,
mm-hmm.
Basically taking a look at the trading data that we had over the past month on this upcoming month's forecast. And what we try to do with these reports is make this data relevant to the people in the industry, but also the everyday gamer. Because a lot of people ask, you know, so what good are these sales statistics to me? You know, what's the big deal with these things? And what we try to do is explain, you know, what do these trends indicate? How do they really impact you know, you as a gamer, how does it change the decisions that these developers are going to make based on these, you know, the actual sales that are happening? Changes how the developers or, you know, the console manufacturers are going to, you know, market their products and how they're going to design the products, you know, for you to use in the future. And so one of the things is Jesse provides analysis on the video game industry based on our prediction data. And we have been speaking in the Evil Avatar community about some of our analysis and providing our data. You can always go to our website to see the current real-time data as it gets updated through market trading throughout the entire day. So all the forecasts are always available on our site in just the numbers, like if a game is selling 3 million, going to sell 3 million units, or we're forecasting a Metascore of 85. But on a monthly basis, we produce these reports that we will share with the Evil Avatar community.
Yeah, I bet September was a fun month, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. that Halo 3 took sales away from everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It actually, from what I understand, it actually made Microsoft's Xbox division a profit for the first time since it's been around, I believe.
I think it was the second quarter in its entire history that it's been profitable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Halo 3 made its mention on, NPR's Marketplace Money Report.
Yeah.
Largely for its impact in helping push Microsoft into profitability. So I thought that was strange that for a couple of days there I was hearing Halo 3 pop up in pretty much every quarterly financial analysis.
Yeah, it was big news, in the financial world. If you turn on CNBC, people were talking about it all day, covering the sales action when on launch day. You have these financial reporters, in their suits, and they're going to a GameStop and, interviewing gamers about Halo 3. It was the biggest story in our financial world, and moving our financial markets was Halo 3.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it was weird seeing, what's that guy's name? Kramer? Jim Cramer or whatever?
Oh, Jim Cramer, yeah.
Talking about Halo 3 and I guess in GameStop and stuff like that, talking about their shares and stuff like that. So.
I mean, it is a big opportunity. So one of the things we are, trying to get out there is how big the video game industry is, for how big, our industry is. Not that many people, are focused on our data or, providing forecasting information to how this industry is evolving compared with, say, the movie industry or the music industry, how much coverage there is in those other entertainment formats. And that's what we're trying to do with the video game industry is really build up the awareness about, how big this is because, it's arguably the number one form of entertainment in America.
Yeah.
and people, a lot of people outside of this industry don't really recognize it because it was such a punctuated change. I mean, video games have been around, even peripherally in the consciousness of people everywhere for a long time, but it's only in the past, inside of the past decade that they've gone to stratospheric levels of profitability for the companies mm-hmm. involved. And I don't think that still hasn't had its impact. Like I saw a news story the other day about some representative of the MPAA essentially blaming Halo for poor movie attendance. And it was like, well, no. You stop treating me like a thief when I walk into your theater and then maybe start producing some better content and I'll go. But I understand the fact that the games industry has finally gotten big enough and is generating the kind of money to really catch the attention of other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and just to bring Jim Cramer back in his show the other day, he was telling his viewers how, the big trend that's happening is the average age of the gamer has moved up. It's not, a lot of people think games are just for kids, but your average gamer is in their mid-30s now.
And they've got the money to spend.
Yeah.
The kids don't.
No. They got their parents' money to spend, but their parents have to relinquish that. That was a number,
We got our own games to buy. Thank you very much.
Well, we were talking last week, and I only got a few more minutes before we have to take a break here, but we were talking last week about why it is so essential for people to release games during the holiday season, and we were very curious as to how much of the revenue taken in during the holiday season is money that comes from parents buying for their children. I wish there was a way that you could kind of separate that and actually see
right, because we were talking about the fact that for those of us that are in our late 20s, early 30s, the fact that it's the Christmas season doesn't necessarily impact my desire to buy the game. A bunch of stuff comes out in if Mass Effect and COD 4 and Assassin's Creed were coming out in March, I would still be buying mm-hmm. Mass Effect, COD 4, and Assassin's Creed in March. I would do that. My paycheck is pretty consistent. That's how it's going to be spent, but I know that the parents are buying the one, maybe two games for the kid during the holiday season, and if you're one of the big three companies, you're hoping they're also going to buy a system. But I just really wonder about that, knowing that there are so many of us that are going to buy the games that we want whenever it comes out, but sometimes can't afford them all because they're jammed up into this little tiny section of the year. Knowing that we are spending more money, mm-hmm. and the children, wherever their money might be coming from, are spending less, is that still good for them? Or should they be focusing more on people who can spend more money throughout the year and distribute those things outside of the three-month holiday season? I don't know.
Yeah. Something probably for Jesse to look at, your analyst there.
Yeah.
look at.
If we get Jesse back on the call. Yeah,
if he could... You know, if he's listening or something, if he could call back like 6 minutes after the hour, we'd love to have him on to talk more about that. How many members you got over there at Sim Exchange? How many registered?
We have about 6,500 registered players with about 1,500 logging in the past month to make trades. So
nice.
The participants vary. Some people are actually, you know, day traders of virtual stocks, and you know, a lot of other players take a more long term approach. They're just investing in the games that they think will be good values in the long run. So we do have a range of players and different playing styles.
Well, Brian, it was great to talk to you tonight. I appreciate you calling in. If you can call over to Jesse and have him call back into the show, you know, anytime during our next hour, we'd love to have him on and kind of
sure.
throw that question at him. I'd like to see what he thinks about it. So
yeah.
But thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah,
and having
for your time.
The chance to really explain the Sim Exchange to your audience.
Oh no, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, good stuff there. If you want to go. Oh, again, thesimexchange.com, the place to go. You'll have to register, but it's fun.
I just registered, actually.
Yeah.
I just did it while we were
there. I just did, too.
Well, there you go.
I did not.
get a laptop, and you will.
Can't do that on your BlackBerry there, can you?
No.
Well, I guess you probably could on your DS if you had the web browser utility.
Don't have the browser.
Possibility there. Anyway.
You step up. You're just not toeing the line here in the studio, Dennis.
Yeah. There you go. I'm just glad the attention's off of me. That's all. I'm just glad it's going somewhere else.
Change it
Are you
going to
put Sim Exchange on easy mode, Scott?
Yeah, I'm going to put Sim Exchange on easy mode, on hold my hand
right.
as I walk through this. Spell it out for me mode. That's exactly how I'll play that game. Anyway, when we come back, we'll have more news. We got plenty to talk about. Sony's had some interesting situations happen even since our last show.
Yeah.
In just a week's time, you know.
I'm not sure if this is now what we consider to be a typical week for them, but
That's something else.
You know, it breaks my heart. I've said it 100 times why, but it's just like I can't not talk about it. We got to talk about it, Sony.
No, and I mean it's the news is there to talk about. Plus more stuff as well, and it's all coming up in our next hour. We'll be back 6 minutes after the hour here on 1170 WACV with a whole lot more of Evil Avatar Radio. See you in 6 minutes or so. Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. This, of course, was the music I was talking about.
You know what? I have to admit this was a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
It actually was a little bit frightening when this would come on. I wouldn't.
It was always frightening because they had the worst composite drawings of the murderers or whoever it was. It's like they throw that picture up there, and it was, oh man, I didn't like looking at that when I was a kid. So.
Oh man, that look on Robert Stack's face. That was serious business. Like, he meant to put the fear in you.
Yeah.
He really did. He did a good job. Too.
And the music helped.
Yep.
So there you go. Anyway, welcome back to the second hour of Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. We got Jesse back on the line from the Sim Exchange. Had a bit of a cell phone problem, so he called back. Now, Jesse, you're the analyst for the site, correct?
That is correct.
And other than telling me that you analyze, what is it that you actually do over there?
Well, what I try to do is I really just try to interpret the data that is available on our website, and I try to interpret that into two different ways. One way for, I guess, the investment community to understand, and another way for the gaming community to understand. Obviously, you know, the prediction markets, not too many people know a lot about them. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help educate everybody not only about prediction markets, how they work, and what the data means. So
well,
just a typical analyst, I guess.
Yeah. sometimes you're liked, and sometimes you're hated.
Yeah, that's definitely the downside to the position. But as an analyst, you got to look at the data and you make facts or makes judgment based off the facts. And sometimes people don't like that. So,
well, one of the things that we were curious, and we brought this up to Brian, and he pretty much said that it would be better to ask you this question. One of the things that we were curious about is that during the holiday sales, such as we're pretty much getting into right now anyway, we're interested in how important it is, or how much of the revenue that's generated during this month, during these next 2 months for video games and video game sales, consoles and games otherwise, software and hardware otherwise, how much of that is coming from parents buying things for their children and regular gamers buying stuff for themselves?
It's really actually just a lot of both. Obviously, the November and December months are definitely driven by parents, people buying gifts for other people, but it's been increasingly common that during the holiday season that we indulge more in ourselves now than we have before. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of both, and I think we just use the holiday season as an excuse to spend more money on ourselves.
Well, apparently the publishers use it as an excuse to, you know, get a bunch of games. I mean, seriously, this 1 month alone, November, if you're a PS3 owner and even if you're just a 360 owner, you've got, I would say about six games or so, maybe even more.
Depending. I would say probably no less than three.
But if you've got...
Me personally, there are three that are absolutes and up to six that I would really like to have. And that's just as a 360 owner.
Yeah.
That's not a PS3 owner.
And that's just in the month of November.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough to say. So, you know, they're possibly going to lose some sales this month from people that buy them their own games themselves because they can't afford to do it at that point in time. And then, you know, maybe make some of that back up in the months of December or the following months. Then again, they could lose out altogether. People just get caught up in whatever game they're playing, and then they don't want to go back. You know, maybe they'll go back when it's a cheap, used version of that game, or whatever the case may be.
Well, used certainly doesn't help the people that made the game.
But used doesn't factor in for the publishers and the developers and that sort of thing. So just how important is it for them to be releasing stuff? You know, it's like we said, if they released in March, these same games that we want now, we're still going to buy them then.
Well, again, just coming from us, I don't think the holiday season does me any good anymore. As far as this particular thing is, you know, I like it for what it is, and I understand that for the economy as a whole, it's a pretty important time. But, you know, for a gamer, I just feel like most games are purchased by the person who's going to have it. They're not necessarily a huge gift item. And I just, it would do me a load of good if they would simply release more games throughout the year instead of having, you know, a pair of months where everything is locked up and I have to spend that much money if I want to get what I want. And that's just money. There's no accounting for the time as well. A lot of times I'm spending the money to put it on my shelf. So,
And that's kind of been a growing trend. I think the best example is when they delayed Grand Theft Auto. And a lot of people were worried, not only for Take-Two, but also for the holiday season. And what actually our prediction market showed is that they did not expect any lesser units to be sold because of the delay.
I don't think they should,
It being delayed till March or you know, April or June.
Or let's face it, next holiday season.
It was not going to hurt. Our prediction market basically said, you know, we don't expect this to sell any less because it's not during the holiday season. But the holiday season is still important, especially for Nintendo. Typically, rule of thumb, you take overall revenue for, say, October, you double it, and you got November. Then you double that, and you got December.
Mm.
But for Nintendo, and especially their core market, because they obviously advertise a lot to the kids, it actually triples each month. So it's a very, very core month for the video game industry. It's definitely necessary, and I think the biggest thing people don't understand is that, yeah, we work in a very hip industry, but we don't like to take risks. And that's why you see a lot of being released in the October, November, and December months.
Yeah.
What about, look at Sony for a second. Not doing too well, obviously. You know, Microsoft just reported that they had made a profit for, I don't know, I guess only the second time or something like that in the existence of the Xbox division or something.
Second quarter, yeah.
Yeah, second quarter. And Sony now is finding themselves way, way down. And expected to be even double that, from what I read recently. Do you think they're going to be able to crawl out of this hole that they've fallen into?
You know, I think long term they should be able to.
I think so, too, long-term. I'm just...
The short-term, no. I mean, obviously, this holiday season's already been spoken for. There's nothing really Sony can do at this point to change what's going to happen in November and what's going to happen in December. And, yeah, they're going to be definitely in a large hole. But I think, you know, definitely long-term, they do have Blu-ray, which obviously does, right now, is the advantage over HD as far as for, you know, players that are out there on the market or people who own either a Blu-ray or an HD. So they got that working for them, definitely. And they do obviously have some great exclusive titles coming out. But, yeah, this holiday season is going to be very rough for them.
Well, it seems like the only thing they could do, they finally done, which is release a competitively priced model.
Yeah.
I mean, something they should have done before, but they've done that now. I guess we just have to give it some time to see if that has any real effect on the way that they're trending.
And that's actually very interesting, too, because Sony announced right away a price cut on the 80-gigabyte version, and then they said, okay, in November, we're going to even have a cheaper version. Well, what actually our prediction market did was they actually lowered their expectations for PS3 units sold in October and raised it for November. So obviously the consumers don't really, you know, care for the 80-gigabyte price cut. They're just looking for the cheapest PS3 that's out there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as much as we've talked about the simple fact that if you actually broke down the components and what the system costs, that you can justify that the system is worth what they were charging. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to afford the system. So I think the 400 is an important move, but I think that it's exactly right. They're done for this holiday season, but I don't know. I think this year is going to haunt them for a long time, but I like to think that this will be the first move that really sets them back on track.
And that's what we're all hoping for, too. Obviously, competition is good for the market, and it does nobody good if you know, one of them falls way behind, you know, like the GameCube did the last generation. But I think, like I said, I think long-term, the Sony fans don't really have much to worry about because they'll end up climbing back up there.
Yeah, I agree that they will. I'm just wondering what it's going to take, and I guess maybe it's one of those things that just kind of slowly makes its way back up to, you know, where they were
before.
Well,
the price is going to drop. You know,
right.
Now there's a cheaper option, which means hopefully more, you know, more systems, and that might be one of these things that works to their favor in consideration of all these other stories we've heard about third parties abandoning ship and Sony begging to bring them back. I can only imagine that a lot of them said, yeah, how about you drop the price on the system so that there's a few more of them in the market, so mm-hmm. more people will buy my game when I make it for your system.
Yeah. And that's actually where most of the pressure came from, was from, you know, retailers and publishers that really pressured Sony to drop this price.
Well, that's good. I hope they keep up the pressure in regards to other things. I mean, maybe they'll continue to develop better middleware, which I know is another huge concern for developers. I don't know. Like I said, I think we just need to watch them for a while and give them some time, and hopefully they can reduce the number of drastic, ridiculous public relations messes they get themselves into, and go a little further toward helping developers actually feel comfortable with this, you know, with being a third-party developer for their system. Mm-hmm. I mean, things seem really, really rosy over on the 360 side of things.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll keep our eye on it.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you being on the show tonight, Jesse.
Thanks a lot for your time.
Sorry about the phone problems that we had earlier.
Yeah, it's my fault. I definitely do apologize, but hopefully Brian was able to fill in.
Yeah, he explained the Sim Exchange to us. We had two people sign up in here, and I'm already on there as well. But hopefully we got you some more people in there playing that game. And it's, you know, it is, I say playing the game, but it's kind of like that. I mean, you are competing against each other in a sense of, you know, who was right, who was wrong, and that's always fun.
Yeah, put your DKP where your mouth is. Yeah.
And that's why we're looking forward to working more with Evil Avatar, because you guys have such a strong community that we definitely want to build on and work with, and, you know, hopefully set up, you know, certain leagues for the Evil Avatar community.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
We look forward to it as well.
Thanks a bunch, man. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Anyway, that was Jesse from The Sim Exchange. Once again, let me throw that out there. TheSimExchange.com is where you can go and sign up and just play the stock market there. Anyway, we're going to take a really, really quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to finish off the news of the week. And there's plenty to talk about. You know, we just talked a minute ago about Sony, and there's some more Sony stuff to talk about, what's going on with them. And in just this one week that we've had in between shows, plenty going on there. You know, there's also more talk of a unified platform from a couple of different people earlier, actually, just after our show.
Yeah, I know, I know.
It always happens, doesn't it?
Just after the show. Anyway, we'll explain all of that coming up next here on 1170 WACV with more of Evil Avatar Radio. Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Sorry, what?
Nothing.
Yeah. I heard a mumble. Anyway.
Yeah, I didn't recognize that at first.
Yeah, it took a little bit to get there. But yeah, anyway, it's a Halloween episode. And
I think you were playing that file on easy mode. That's why.
I'll never live it down. You'll never let me. I'll find something on you, though. I don't know if I can, but I'll find something.
I don't have, like, a lot of shame or anything, so it might not matter.
Probably won't. Hey, real quick. I want to thank you. You should thank whoever it was that gave us our...
Oh, yeah. Steven. Darkened Sky. He was... he heard my plaintive cry for an Arbiter Action Clicks figure back when Psycho Boy was... bought those first few packs, and then I strong-armed him into buying many, many more packs, simply so I could find an Arbiter.
You never did.
Yeah, he heard my whining, I guess you could call it,
yeah.
for an Arbiter figure. And lo and behold, in the mail, two packages of the Target exclusive Arbiter and Master Chief. So very, very special thanks to him for that. I really appreciated it. It made me feel good.
And I want to thank Dana for my... Well, both of you, for the Xbox Live points card that you
it's
got me
do.
For the birthday. However, I brought these in. I brought both of these in so you could see the difference. Obviously, you can't see it on the radio, and if we ever get a webcam up, you'll be able to see this, which may happen soon. I used these both last night, scratched them off with a bottle cap.
Okay.
Here's the one that I bought that doesn't come in the Xbox pack. It's just like hanging on a hook in a retail shop somewhere or whatever.
Okay.
There you go. No problem there. Here's the one that comes in the pack you buy officially from Microsoft.
Man, that's nasty.
Couldn't use it.
Really?
I can't decipher the numbers. It's scratched off.
That's really terrible. That's a 1,600 points card, too.
Yeah. And I don't know of any way that you can...
Is there any recourse for this?
I don't know. I don't think that there is.
Really?
How do you,
there needs to be.
How do you prove that you haven't used those points?
I don't necessarily know that you need to prove. I just think you need to whine a lot. It got me an Arbiter Action Clicks. Seriously, Microsoft does respond.
I'll call them. I'll call them and see what I can.
How many times did you try?
Not much. I tried it and then I realized, whoa, that looks like it's taken off. So I stopped.
Right.
And then I use something a lot softer than a bottle.
There's
cap.
Only like two here that you can't make out. There's only like two little digits or integers or whatever that you can't make out in the second grouping.
Yeah, and that's
you could have maybe tried again.
That's plenty to go through.
Well, but I mean, they look sort of like stuff. You could have like said this looks like a thing and then tried that.
Good luck.
Can I have it? I'll try it.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
First off, you scratched off with a bottle cap?
It worked on the other one. I didn't have any problem. I mean, look how clear the other one is.
I've never had any problem, but I use
Yeah, but I mean,
is that
does that necessarily mean that the bottle cap is the best thing?
I bet you I can get this in one go.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought maybe we could put up a picture of it on, you know, on the internet and a link in the chat room, and whoever gets it first gets points. Giveaway. Woo!
Yeah, I give away my birthday present, sure.
But it'd be fun.
You know what?
Hey, I tried to get you Ace Combat 6, but that didn't work either.
You know what you did, though? You put $25 down on Rock Band.
So
that's not what I told her
mic,
to do.
Right?
No, that's not what you told her to do, but it's my birthday money.
Yeah, I didn't tell her to do it at all.
It doesn't matter.
I wasn't smart enough to think about that.
So, yeah, it's, I'll have to see.
A, use a penny next time.
Bottle cap was just sitting
no,
there.
No, use a penny.
Yeah.
They're around here and there. You'll be able to find one. Or a quarter. Or, you know, whatever.
Well, I'll know next time. But see, this one, obviously, no problem.
Yes, I see that one.
Yeah.
That one's great.
Like, had no problem with it. So I'm thinking, well, no problem here until I get further in, and I'm like, oh, boy, it's gone.
Well, good job.
You're still on. Go ahead.
One of our chat roomers wants you to call them on the air and complain about your points card and see what they say. But I think it would take too long to get through the
Yeah, you know, if we were a three-hour show again, I'd do that. I'd be like, coming up next hour, we're calling Microsoft support. But no, we're not, so I'm not going to do that. Jeremy's going through it right now and going to give his best shot. Remember, letters and numbers to choose from. So you have no idea. Here's an old card to see if maybe there's a pattern in as far as where numbers come and where letters are supposed to go. So maybe that helps. I doubt it. Anyway, let's jump back into the show here. Got more news to go over here. Plenty about Sony. We'll just jump right into what happened there. Blacksite was going to hit 360 and PC. They're coming out this year. Apparently not going to happen for PS3. Development trouble is what seems to be the reason for that.
That's the reason du jour, or, you know,
which I believe is the same excuse. Which I believe is the same excuse that the Harmonix guy.
He had a lot to say about that, and I really wish I could have followed that in more detail, because there were some counterpoints brought up in various places by other members of the development community that were talking. You know, they were talking deep development, you know, point and counterpoint about specific claims made about the PS3. It's sort of easy to understand when somebody says it's more difficult to develop for, and I can completely believe it. We've heard that claim of many systems many times before. For a lot of people, the Saturn springs to mind very much when you hear the complaints about the PS3, and that's okay. That's legitimate. We all know that. I mean, You're kind of mad if you don't realize that the time constraints and the money constraints aren't what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're far more intense now. Games are extremely expensive to make, and you've really, really got deadlines in mind when it comes to what your publishers want to see out of your development studio. And you've got a really limited number of resources and various places you have to allocate them, and I certainly understand when development difficulties cause you those kind of problems, particularly if, like we all seem to understand, the 360 development is simple in comparison, or much simpler.
What seems to be, yeah.
And it, again, seems to be. So I can understand it. No reason to write the system off, of course, but we've talked about how important it is, particularly with third-party titles that are being released on both systems, that they be released at the same time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get people like us thinking that Stranglehold came out already, yeah?
Stranglehold came out on 360. I believe it was September the 5th, if I remember right. I could be totally wrong.
It was the 5th or 12th.
Doesn't matter. Like it was that. In September, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And now Stranglehold comes out the last week of October.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's tough. I'm
PS3.
At this point,
Orange Box still hasn't come out for the PS3 yet.
Yeah, one or two stories, one or two anecdotes by developers talking about how bad it is. That's one thing. You start to hear a couple of stories in conjunction with system-specific pushbacks of games. That's another thing. And then, as time goes on, and there's no end to the complaints about the difficulty developing in their environment, then it becomes more difficult to ignore it. You really, unless you have all the information, which I don't. I don't understand how to develop for either system. When a developer says something, I have no choice but to, I mean, I can be skeptical, but part of me is just going to take them at their word until someone who knows something refutes it. And even then, it might just be specific points. I'm willing to believe that, you know, yeah, you have a hard time with the system. It stinks. And the games wind up getting pushed back. That stinks even more. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Trying to get the system in homes.
Or the game itself isn't any good, and that's about the worst of all possible outcomes.
Layer,
or like some of the sports games that are available for both.
Yeah,
consoles.
They keep having the frame rate problems.
It comes out on the same, you know, comes out on the same day, but it's trash. Well, that's worse than coming out a week later.
Mm-hmm.
So, game's only late till it ships.
Yeah.
But a bad game's a bad game forever.
That's so true.
I don't know. It's bad for them. It's more bad news. But, like, you know, we just got done talking about the fact that maybe the price correction will be the first step in helping them to theoretically overcome some of the stuff, but I don't know. If we're to believe that publisher, retailer, and developer pressure is something that led them to this price push, then we can also believe that that same pressure will lead them to correct other issues. You know, now there's precedent for them not knuckling under, but like responding to what to all these other contingencies in the industry. I hope it continues. I hope it's a trend.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that's the way things should be run, but for them, whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about releases and how they get the games out on time. Eye of Judgment is another one that was due out. It was due out Tuesday of last week, and then the store said, no, it's coming in tomorrow, Wednesday of last week, and then that didn't happen.
Right.
And I think Thursday, people started getting them in stores, but a lot of people were walking into their store saying, do you have Eye of Judgment? Did you pre-order it? No. Well, then you're not getting it because we only had about three people pre-order, and we just didn't get a lot of them in, and now they're on back order.
And then meanwhile, Amazon is like on Amazon time.
Yeah.
freaking out everybody that had a pre-order through there. And the original date was sometime, what did you say? It was like a month from now?
Well, the original, their estimated time of delivery.
It was mid-November, wasn't it?
Yeah, it said we'll ship it to you at this point, estimated time of delivery. I know they always go long. They always give a worst-case scenario type situation when they give these out. It was November 13th to the 15th or something like that. Right. I'm going to stop playing Call of Duty 4. I'm going to stop playing Assassin's Creed or Kane and Lynch, whatever happens to be out at the time, because I just got Eye of Judgment in. No.
Not at all.
So anyway, you get Eye of Judgment, which I've gotten, and I can't find card packs anywhere in the stores. Nobody has, they have some theme decks, but nobody has booster packs that I want to pick up. So nobody has those either. Unfortunately, I've got Ratchet and Clank. I've got Ratchet and Clank, which is what I spent most of my time playing over the weekend. That and Guitar Hero 3. But on my PS3 alone, Ratchet and Clank was really
which
what was
great.
In there.
But, I mean, that's to say nothing from, you know, yet again, another possibly a PR snafu. Well, at some level a PR snafu, the whole thing with the counterfeit cards.
Well, then there's that, yeah.
And nobody knows exactly what that means. We know that ever since they talked about how this game would work, the question of counterfeiting cards has been in the forefront. And they've given some very incomplete, very politic answers to how they claim to deal with it, whether it is individual card registration or, you know, a special inking process or something like that. And within seconds of the game coming out, those were all proven absolutely, completely false.
Mm-hmm.
You can simply download anything, download any image file, print it out. Don't even have to cut it out and glossy the printout. Just hold the paper under the eye, and it works.
Yeah, try doing that in a real customizable card game. You can't do it.
No.
You can't just whip out a piece of paper that has an image of the
man,
card.
It'd be a geek fight. It really would. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't played it. I was never deep into CCGs. I had no problem with them, but I understand how I respond to any kind of collectible thing. Obsessively. That's the only reason I stayed away from them.
I want to make sure that I'm clear in this. I am not trashing Eye of Judgment. I love the game. I really do. I had to play the AI all weekend and never won a single game of it.
Yeah.
So I still don't understand how to play the game too much yet, but I still love what I can do with that. If I could have some people over to play, it's really entertaining to have all that stuff going on the screen and have seriously, hold a card.
Yeah.
You can still see your hand on the screen, but you're seeing this little character on top.
I think it's extremely cool.
Yeah.
And the whole counterfeit issue doesn't necessarily break the gameplay.
No, I mean
it removes the whole customizable card aspect simply because you're not going to have to spend.
It's going to kill them on sales of the cards, which is what they were, you know.
It is, and it's going to change the balance of people, theoretically, the balance of people who have the ability to build any deck for any situation and scenario. That's not even necessarily a bad thing. That essentially what that means is that it could possibly level the playing field, except for the fact, and this is obviously talking about, you know, just about the online stuff, not everybody's going to do that. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to be pretty scrupulous about it. Their ethics are going to prevent them from doing this. And they're not going to do it, and they're going to try to play legitimately, and there's going to be no opportunity for them to do it, or very limited opportunity, because somebody else out there will have printed it out. And it's almost like, well, I know somebody's going to do it, so if I seriously want to play, I have to do it.
Just start the chain reaction type thing. And then,
it's very strange. It's kind of uncomfortable. But that is no, again, you've seen it, you've played it, and a lot of people, anyone I've heard reference the game who's actually played it has had something good to say about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I completely respect what they've done. It just seems like they didn't think things through. They could have done a better job figuring out how to do the distribution.
I was going
to
say, it's like, I'm wondering if they sat around and really said, guys, look, there's no way we can, with the way that we've implemented this, there's no way we can prevent this from happening.
Yeah. I don't know.
So let's just downplay it. If people bring it up, let's just say
they may have been a punt. They may have just punted it and said, we'll deal with this question later.
When it comes up.
When it comes up. Right now, let's get the game out there. Somebody may have realized that to overcome that particular design flaw was too much. It would have meant fundamentally changing what it was, and I don't know. Those are tough decisions. Either way, I think it's safe to say that the thing itself is interesting and worthy of attention. So, there you go. I would like to come over at some point and see it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm anxious to see it.
Take a look at that, and I'll show you some Ratchet and Clank as well. Just really beautiful on the screen.
Yeah, I know. It's going to make me feel really bad about not having picked up the PS3 this holiday season. I'm hoping that Drake's Fortune will as well. I've been really excited about that ever since I saw it. I've heard some things from various first looks.
You know, you mentioned Drake's Fortune, and I'm taken back to last week when we were wondering if Tomb Raider Anniversary was released and whatever. Saw it in Walmart over the weekend. It's actually there. $40, you get Tomb Raider Anniversary on the 360.
Yeah, it kind of passed me by. Like I said, I've got mounds and piles and scads and noodles of real-life things to deal with at the moment, plus the other money that I know I'm going to be spending, but... that was something I was kind of happy for.
Yeah, and so, I'm hoping that download content is still something that's planned.
Maybe I just missed it. Maybe
they canceled that and I didn't see it. Yeah.
All I know is the last thing I heard was that it was going to be DLC in chunks for the existing Xbox 360 Tomb Raider.
Yep.
And I thought that was okay. It was an interesting way to distribute it. And then they were going to go to a box retail version. So, I don't know. It's obviously not a marquee title for
so
any news of
it's not keeping me awake at night.
Yeah, so any news of that change might not have made it to
I tell you, we can discuss all we want about Assassin's Creed, we can talk all we want about Rock Band, Kane and Lynch, Mario Galaxy, we can even talk about Super Smash Brothers as well, but the game and at the forefront of my mind is Call of Duty 4.
Which I still haven't played.
That multiplayer.
You will. I
know. And it's funny, we're assured now that we're not getting any co-op in the campaign. And also there is word
that the campaign's
short. The campaign is extremely short, somewhere between 4 and 6 hours.
Okay.
From what I understand, the things that I've read, there are a lot of reasons to replay the campaign. There are a lot of the creativity that they put into the minutia of the online mode kind of found its way into the single player, but I've seen some video of the single player. I trust their ability to make a well-paced action game in interesting. I trust that. Like, I'm not often just moved to give someone that much leeway, but I was never concerned about the single player. When I played that beta, when I saw the effect it had on me in the face of other multiplayer games, when I realized how excited I got every single time they gave a rank boost, When I saw how much fun it was physically to play what has got to be one of the best first-person shooter adaptations for a console to date with the people that I played it with, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They could simply have excised the single-player content. I probably would have given a shrug, made a face, spent the $60 anyway.
Because it was that.
It's happened already with a handful of games. I mean, great, like Warhawk, online only, but at a cheaper price, which is good. But Shadowrun was a full-price game and online only. And people bought it and enjoyed it and felt it was worth the money. COD 4 absolutely would have been.
Yeah.
So I know it's a real thing. And I honestly, I miss it, man. I miss starting the map. I miss creating my own character. I miss those unlocks. Man, was that ever... You want to... You talk about achievements feeling good
mm-hmm.
when that thing pops up on your screen after you finish a level. That I'm sorry, but that little blunk
Ain't
has
nothing
gotten
compared
nothing
to
on that. Every time you pull off some serious hotness in that game, man.
I wish I had a rewind feature right here, right now.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, it was good.
That was great. But yeah, I'm hoping the bug bites you like it bit us, man. I really hope so.
And all of us kind of everybody seems to recognize it. We're like, man, even people that play this stuff on the PC, it was just like, they just fundamentally grabbed the concept of how to do this kind of game on the 360.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's some features that we've all really enjoyed in Halo 3 that it doesn't have, and it would be improved by those things. But for what it is, all I can say is I was playing Halo 3 and really wanted my kill cam.
Yeah.
So
I did too.
Perfect balance of features. I cannot wait till it gets here.
Yeah. 16 maps. Wonderful.
Oh, man. it's really good.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying, all this talk, and that's really the only thing that's kind of sticking out in my
head. And, you know, I've got a little bit of... I'm slightly apprehensive about both Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect, only because I have a suspicion. I mean, they've both gone gold. They're done. But for some reason, I feel like they haven't really been talked about all that much. And I know 100 times I've asked for this to be the case. Can the game just release without me knowing everything about it? Because I often feel like almost every aspect of a game is spoiled before I ever get to it.
Look at Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and to some extent, that even happened a little bit with BioShock. Like, right leading up to it, when the hype was building, it was very easy to know too much about that game.
Well,
because a lot of people were talking.
I was going to say, that's because, you know, they were releasing at a time that was just void of games. And so,
right,
to kind of hold over the length of time that you were waiting, you know, you'd see these developer diaries and all this other stuff of how the game's coming along and that sort of thing. So you really got to see that game being built, being born, being raised, whatever the case. You kind of got to watch it grow into what it became. You know, yeah, you were a little bit spoiled into that. And then out of the blue, man, out of nowhere, you get this multiplayer beta.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah,
shocks everyone.
But yeah, I feel like there was a certain amount of information we had about both Mass Effect and, to a much lesser extent, Assassin's Creed, up to a point. And then it was just like, nope, we're not talking about it. I mean, when was the last thing you heard anything material about what was actually going on in Assassin's Creed? What, a year ago?
It's been a while.
Nobody's really talking about it. Yeah. So it's this trained reaction where it's like, but you haven't told me everything about it. You haven't completely spoiled it for me. Why aren't you talking? I'm mixed up about it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it isn't because they're disguising a 5-hour single player component when frankly speaking that's all they have. That's a perfectly fine thing to come out and admit, if you've got probably the baddest multiplayer game anybody's seen on the system yet.
It's that good, man.
But, you know, I have to admit, I feel like maybe they're hiding something. Maybe there are aspects of the game that they're not that proud of. And it's just, you know, it's also just me being paranoid. So it'll all be better when I have them in my hands. So that'll be good. I'm really looking forward to it.
The other game for me that's stuck in my head, obviously, is Burnout Paradise. And we got news last week of the release date for, what, January 22nd, I believe. We'll get that. But the bigger news that came with that was that, hey, we're going to give you a demo in December.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I'm glad you did. I didn't make it too obvious, but yeah, that was shout from the rooftops for me. I was so glad. Number one, to hear that the release date was set, and, you know, it's not one of those. I always love it when they give you a firm date. I understand that can change, but there's a better chance that it won't when they really lock in, this is when it's coming out. Of course, then again, you had E3 when Reggie says you're getting Smash Brothers at this, and then, of course, that's delayed. So I understand that it can happen, but it was good to hear. And then the fact that they said, well, in December, though, we're going to give you a demo that will highlight a couple of different modes of the game, but it'll also actually allow you to have, I believe, two other people in the city with you. Not the full-on multiplayer like they're going to have with eight people, but they are going to give you the opportunity to experience play with two other of your friends within the city. So lots of fun there. I don't know if it's going to be the full city. Probably not. Just a little chunk of it. But it'll still be a lot of fun. So glad to hear that.
Crash mode.
You know, you can still wreck. You know, you put two other people in there and be like, you get the other end of that street, and we're just going to go head on. And have the other guy come at the T-intersection of that street. See if you guys can connect just all three at one time. Good stuff. Fun stuff. Just to see what happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, just wanted to mention that. Other stuff that came out. Nintendo confirmed that friend codes are staying with the system. There's no hard drive planned for the Wii. There was a rumor that possibly for either Mario Kart or Smash Brothers, they would kind of change the way that that works. That was just a rumor, and that's not going to happen at all. So there you go on that. I know. Big boo on that one.
Yeah.
In case you listened to the after show last week, we talked a lot about the unified platform thought, I guess, the idea of a unified platform in the very next day after we're done with that.
Was that Dennis Dyack?
Yeah. He came out and said, you know, it's inevitable that we're going to get that way. Another guy, the guy that created Katamari, just today, I believe, mentioned that he wanted a unified platform as well.
That's good. I have no doubt that they want it. We discussed at length how it would work out very well for them and the various ways it could work out really good for the community. But I think that there are some pitfalls inherent and some a little bit of fuzzy-headed wishful thinking inside of the whole thing that just doesn't take into account some very consistent trends and certain realities, I guess you could say. But I don't even have any problem thinking of it as an eventuality. I mean, that's a lot of indistinct meaning in that term. You know, eventuality could mean several generations from now or a point when there aren't really generational leaps in console technology. I don't know. I think it's fine. I think if he wants to look forward to it, that's really good. I don't expect it anytime soon.
Yeah.
At all.
No.
But we were at least right about the fact that this is a timely question for them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly why it's coming up now, I don't know. All the reasons, I mean, I suppose it's obvious when you look at how things are now. But I don't know. I think if it's what the market wants, if it's what's best for the largest number of people involved, then it'll happen.
Yeah, no.
Or at least someone will try it.
Someone will bring another console into the market, I suppose. I don't know. The thought of maybe EA doing such a thing.
And we talked about that.
Yeah.
They could do it, man. Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, of course they have.
Much crazier things have happened.
You know, they start following a pattern like Microsoft had just before they entered the console, the home console game thing, where you're buying up developers left and right. Really good ones, too. You're getting those guys. So, it's interesting. Of course, you know, they've got the lock on the NFL license and that sort of thing. So
they got that Madden.
Yeah, that alone could probably, if they made a console that only played Madden, they'd probably still make a profit off of that. Who knows? And not for me, though. What else do we have going on in this? There's some interesting stuff. I was gonna jump into this, but there's a guitar issue going on with Rock Band and Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, really, to tell you
Man,
the truth.
That was hard to follow.
It was.
I had to keep rereading that to make sure I had a grasp on what was going on there.
All I know is that my Guitar Hero 2 controller on my 360 will play on both of those systems,
yes.
Both of the games.
The Guitar Hero 3 controller will work on all the games.
Will work on Rock Band as well, correct?
Yes.
But
the Rock Band controller
will
only
not,
works with Rock Band.
And will not work with Guitar Hero 3, but will work with Guitar Hero 2, correct?
Well, the last thing I read was it would not work with Guitar Hero 2 either.
Yeah, well,
see, I think we're reading conflicting things from different sources.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really tough. But the basics of it is that Rock Band's guitar probably only works with Rock Band.
Yeah.
Whereas all the others can work, you know, with Rock Band itself and everything else. But apparently it only works with that one. So interesting there. I was just glad to, you know, I played Guitar Hero 3. I did not buy the wireless guitar version of it. Apparently, this is something else that may not be as known, but you can't use your controller battery packs that you have.
Yeah.
Can't use that in the guitar.
Really?
There's another accessory that you're going to have to shell out some money for to buy.
Of course, there always
That'll
is.
Be a rechargeable pack that goes into that guitar, from what I've read. And some people in the chat room may dispute that, who own the guitar itself, but that's what I've heard. No, you got to use your AA's or whatever for the time being.
Well, that's what I use anyway on mine, but that's going to inconvenience an awful lot of other people.
Man, I don't like those primitive, you know, electrical storage devices that you just have to throw in the trash, man.
No, I don't. Yeah. I use rechargeable double A's.
Even those are kind of weird.
Well, whatever.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like, yeah. it's another step in the process.
Right.
Like, I just don't like taking them out of the thing and then, like, putting them in the other thing. And, like, I don't like that whole thing. Far too lazy for all of that.
Well, I don't even want to take my pack out. So, you know.
No, I'm not even trashing on them. I'm just saying, like, it's entirely a problem with me.
When you've got, like, a dozen rechargeable AA's laying around, there's not much incentive to go out and pick up more rechargeable battery packs. So.
Yeah. I guess unless you're, I don't know. That's cool. You keep doing that.
One of the other games that went gold this week.
What makes us different?
You're different.
As people.
You're different. One of the other games that went gold this week was Crysis. That just announced today, actually, that it went gold. So finally you get to do something with your PC. I mean, I'm sure you've been doing things with it, but this is one of those.
Nope.
I've got to upgrade.
The high settings on Crysis?
That's what I'm saying.
PC, the demo?
It's one of those games where you've got to. The game cost what, $60, $50?
Well, the high settings was disabled unless you had like DirectX 10 and Vista, but somebody found a way to hack the text config file so that it's enabled on XP and apparently runs fine.
What are the highest settings? I mean, what's the recommended stuff that you need for Crysis? Do you know?
That's like scientist numbers. It's like weird laboratory, like theoretical experimental numbers. Don't worry about it.
That's what I'm saying. If you really want to play it as is, or you know, at the best of its ability, you got to shell out more.
And, like, I haven't had this problem in a really long time, but I remember playing, what was it? Me and a couple of other guys, I think it was Bullet Food, who's in the chat room, and Hoggy, went in on a copy of Jane's USAF, back when it was a flight sim. Mm-hmm. It was a study sim that had, like, an awful lot of different, as opposed to a survey sim, or it was a survey sim, not a study sim. It had a lot of different ships. In it, but it was really pretty. Man, it looked good. And I installed it, and it had like a whole bunch of stuff grayed out, and it was like hands on hips, tapping its foot at me, and was like, no, sorry. You don't have a Pentium 3, so you don't get to click this box. Oh, man, if I'd have had a controller.
You'd have shot it.
I was angry. I don't like being told that. Yeah. I don't care what it does to my frame rate and my performance, man. I want to be able to click that box if I feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like being told in that way that I have to upgrade. So the best way to deal with it really is I would just spend the money and upgrade so I don't have to hear that anymore. But yeah, it sucks to have features disabled like that until you spend the money. But, I mean, anybody who really wants to play it is going to be more or less willing to support PC gaming in that way. So
definitely
good for them.
All right. Well, we're running out of time here. Coming up on the last few minutes of the show. I haven't done one yet, so I need to do a chat room roll call here. We've got King Gorilla in there. Also, Hoggy, I don't think he's actually in there. I think he's actually doing something else, but he's still in the chat room. Track Zero, Ghost Bear 1, Klunka, 1019, Blackwing, Mike O'Hara, Cyber Distractions in there. Dave is still in there. Fishbang, myself, Zilladana, answering the phones for us. Straximus here as well, who gave me somewhat of what he thinks the code is to unlock these gamer points, which I will try tonight. If it works, I will buy you a card.
All right.
For doing that for me. Or some points or something. I don't know. Do something. Card 930 is in there. Magnum PI. Hello, Selick. Shadows.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yes. I think Shadow Storm. A lot of R's. Was the name taken or something? I don't know. Fear the Reaper, Rogue Hunter, Nabokov Fan 87, Agent Fox, Drew MG. Thanks for the email, Drew. Very long letter there. Love getting letters. Everyone at Evil Avatar Radio, by the way, if you want to email us. Tyler Durden 84 and Wired Insanity in the chat room as well. So, yeah, if you do want to send us an email or anything, if you hear something on the after show, if you hear something during the show, whatever, give us an email. Everyone at evilavatarradio.com. All right, real quick as we're wrapping things up, Jeremy, did you get to play anything this weekend?
No.
Nothing at all, huh?
Nope, nothing at all.
All right, this is going to be a short segment. shorter than I would have liked it to have been. Make something up. No, Dennis, what did you play? Anything?
I played a bit of Half-Life 2, the original mode. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to get Episode 2 and start getting through that.
All right. Have you gone through Episode 1? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I've gone through Episode 1. Going to go through it again and then...
Did you mess around with Portal any? Have you picked that up yet?
I haven't picked it up yet. I
really need to do that. It's good stuff. Zilladana, did you play anything this week? This weekend at all?
I played the Viva Pinata Party Animals demo.
What demo is that? Is that the racing? Is that the...
Well, it's racing and eating apples and burping.
That's what I thought. I was like, there's a burping game in there.
The river. And I also played the Scene It demo because that's about how much time I had.
Yeah, how was that?
About as fun as playing the board game by yourself would be. Probably more fun with other people, but when you're sitting there by yourself, you're like, ooh, Tom Hanks, okay. Yeah, no, not so much fun by yourself there.
All right. And did you play anything this week, James?
I haven't been able to spend much time in front of the 360. Like I said, I tried to play Team Fortress 2 on a couple of opportunities right before the patch came down, but I wasn't happy with it, and I was just waiting for the patch. So I'm going to try to give that some more time before COD 4. Other than that, I've just been dabbling a little more in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Not that anybody really cares, but like, you know, like with any MMO, they release giant free content patches every so often.
And during the holidays, you get some nice stuff too. During the holidays,
yeah,
the
stuff. They do a lot of really, really great seasonal activities. They're really fun, and they're very, very good. Their Halloween one this year was extremely nice. Mm-hmm. It was everything they had from last year, but with a lot of extra stuff added. It's a good piece of flavor activity that's a lot of fun to be a part of. But they're testing one of their very, very big patches right now, which is going to, in a lot of ways, fundamentally change the basic parts of the game. They realize they're about to push themselves to the level 80 mark with the next expansion pack, and they don't want the barrier to entry to grow more dense when they do that. So they're making it easier for newer people to come into the game, making it faster for other people to level their alts and things like that. But it's something that I can do on my laptop pretty much wherever I am if I've got a net connection that will allow me to play WoW through it. So it's something that I can get on and spend a couple hours here and there with. And don't necessarily have to be at home with it. But yeah. I'm telling you, I wanted to puke. I was so angry this week that I couldn't play my 360 like I wanted. So,
yeah, I got in some Guitar Hero 3, Ratchet & Clank, Eye of Judgment. Played a little bit of the Exit game on Xbox Live as well. Anyway, that's, you know, probably doing much of the same this coming weekend as well. Lots of fun there. That's going to do it, though, for Episode 80 of Evil Avatar Radio. I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat room, everybody that called. I want to thank the guys from the Sim Exchange for being on with us as well. That's going to do it, and we'll be back next week with more here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. Good night, everybody. Bye.
Good night, guys.
Found out that when I take my headset off, I'm more prone to talk.
Really?
Yeah. It just feels more conversational when I don't have it being beamed directly into my skull.
Yeah.
Oh.
I really only like to wear it when we have interviews.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to hear that. But it's fine.
Yeah. I don't know where my head's at. I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know where my head's at. What do you want to talk about? I have no idea.
Did you see the final set list for Rock Band?
I saw that it was announced, but I have some really insurmountable ennui about that game. I really, really do.
Insurmountable what?
Ennui.
Ennui.
I don't give a shit. It's basically a really fancy French way of saying I'm torpid. Hold on. Let me get the good... A feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction arising from a lack of occupation or excitement. I should have just said, I don't give a fuck. But whatever. Yeah. That's making up for the marquee, by the way, if you're listening. Sincerest apologies for that.
What? I'm totally out of the loop.
I was chided for using the wrong version of marquee. I always, in my post, I always use the wrong version of marquee. I spell it wrong.
Oh.
I know the difference, but I just that's one of my quirks is that's a word I always get wrong.
I know this is like my, you know, 80s inner geek showing, but I'm really jazzed.
What is that, Aerosmith?
Well, no, they've got a 70s Aerosmith song, but no, Faith No More epic.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I played an Aerosmith song over the weekend in Guitar Hero 3.
What
yeah.
song?
I don't remember. Obviously not one of their more...
The Aerosmith song.
Yeah, the one Aerosmith song. Like, I can't remember. I don't even want to venture a guess. It sounded
was it fun?
Guitar Hero 3 was very fun, yeah. I don't, you know, I know it lost you when, you know, just because you fell in love with that first track list on Guitar Hero.
It was just things I wanted to play. It's not a value judgment of the songs necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's a question of there being some things, you know, in my imagination as I've grown up, there are some things when driving down the interstate I imagine myself playing. There are some things I don't.
Yeah.
It's just they managed to find an awful lot of things I never once fantasized about playing. And I in my mind, that's really what this is about. And if it doesn't get me in that regard, because truth be told, I have some very odd musical tastes, you know, not even necessarily good ones. It didn't grab me. I'll joke on it, I'll riff on it just to have something to talk about, but I don't have any problem with it. It just ain't there for me, man. It does not move me.
Well, did you read my first impressions?
No, I did not.
Okay. One of the things that I said in there was the track list for Guitar Hero 3 is way more into the popular realm than previous games. There's like a ton more songs than Eyes and No on Guitar Hero 3 than I have on either of the two before it.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff on there that's very familiar. And there's a few that aren't, but maybe the band names are. I just don't know the songs, so... Yeah, I don't know. I like the set list they put on Guitar Hero 3.
No, that's good. That's really good.
I love the online mode. I love that I can now play co-op online with someone. You can't do co-op. You can do the entire career co-op mode. You can't do it online. You can randomly play songs online co-op, but you can't go through the career. So I kind of miss that, but the fact is now, if I ever wanted to play with someone and do the guitar bass thing or that sort of thing, or have a face-off or something like that, I had to have somebody come over to the house.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I had to have somebody come over to the house that... I'm not saying I'm good at it, but there was at least a nice little challenge that I could have, you know? And now I can do that online. So I'm glad that they've taken it that route. So
I understand it says something about me looking at this list because it's broken down by decade.
Which one are you looking at? The
Rock Band.
Rock Band?
And I recognize like most of the songs before it hits the 2000s.
And then you get to the 2000s and you don't know anything in there?
Yeah.
It is, yeah, that's... God, that's a real cliche, isn't it? Seriously?
Yeah.
The way our folks were listening to 60s... music,
mm-hmm.
or whatever on the oldies station, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's what they listen to. A lot of the stuff that I really like a lot wasn't around when I was in high school, so
I've pretty much quit listening to radio or anything else. You know,
does anybody listen to it?
I don't know.
Radio's fucking about games,
really.
It's not for music. What are you mad?
So radio is where I email people about being on the show or
yeah.
post threads.
Did you read, I talked about Will Wright's comments about the Wii and the next generation system. Did you read the other thing he had to say?
About what?
The stories thing?
His games aren't stories.
Well, God, I hate headlines sometimes. I really hate them, man. Because
well, they're doing what they're supposed to do, though.
I know. I know they are, man. It's like a damn shiny-ass lure for me.
Yeah.
Games aren't straight. You son of a bitch.
You bite into it.
Get off my lawn. You know, and I read the thing, and I'm like, no, yeah, he's pretty right. Although, games are not stories really isn't what he was talking about. He was basically highlighting something that's...
yeah, I mean, more or less undeniable. Every other form of storytelling that we're trying to squeeze into the template of a game, you know, make it, we're trying to make every other form of linear storytelling, which is essentially every form of storytelling for the most part, conform to the model of interactivity, and it doesn't work very well. Although what you said right off the cuff is actually true. His games are not stories.
No, that's the perfect thing, yeah.
But that's, I would absolutely rebel against a status quo where there were not stories in games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important. My life is a story. So it's, I mean, so are yours. Everybody's life is a story, and that's one of the reasons they're so important to us, because it's part of how we recognize and compartmentalize change and progress and all of these things. It's where we keep, it's how we store certain information about ourselves, and I think it's really important to analyze those things. And it just feels really good.
Yeah.
So I understand that he likes the Wiimote, and I see where he's going with that. I think he misspoke when he said it was next generation, but then that's just semantics and what the hell,
right,
you know? Like, you know.
Makes you wonder if he will show up in Smash Brothers.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Did he get a money hat from Nintendo?
Yeah, right. But, the story, it was just, I can't quote it because there were so many things that were so right about what he said that you should really read it. But it was just him talking at the, was it the BAFTA Video Games Awards?
Yeah, you know, he won that big award. Then
yeah, and that's what he was talking about. And I understand where his point's coming from. What I brought out of that was, fine, we figure out how to integrate the two, storytelling and the at least apparent non-linearity of games.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that Half-Life has become such an important anchor, and I don't like that it's one of the few things that you go back to all the time, but there was an extremely important story being told there. There were no cutscenes. You were a silent protagonist. It was very linear, but you felt like you were always just ahead of catastrophe in that game, and it was so cleverly paced. The player's behavior was so perfectly anticipated, and the questions in your mind and the your reaction to certain scenarios was understood in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So that level of interactivity was planned ahead, but they used it to kind of tell you the story, whether it was a Barney or a scientist or a Marine or a voiceover by a computer speaker or something like that.
Right.
There was a solid story there.
No, there was, yeah.
And certainly that's not the easiest way to tell it, but, you know, sort of flipping around what he said, I can't imagine, well, I can, but I don't necessarily think that story would have been any more appropriate had it been written in a book.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, you know, I'm reading the Eric Nyland Halo novels, and I'm, you know, I clench my teeth in anger sometimes at the fact that I truly believe there's, like, really, you know, not earth-shattering, not like Stanley Kubrick level of sci-fi going on here, but it's more than competent. It's got a good story. It's not completely derivative. There's some really, really great stuff there. But the games do a wretched, wretched job of delivering their own story. The books are better at it. Largely because they can rely on, they don't have to describe what Chief looks like, how Cortana sounds. They don't have to do these things. It's already been done. If you're reading the books, you know about it. So.
Well, they've got more. They've got, as with any book, you can just flesh out the details a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And the backstory and whatever other, you know.
Well, you can explore the things that make the story really, really good instead of having a shitty cutscene that doesn't really get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
I can sort of understand the magnitude of, you know, different encounters and various, why things are what they are. I know that they're there for a cliche, but Eric Nyland pulls this giant fan wank and, like, whips the damn thing into shape by filling in the details, you know? I like
exactly.
It. It's good stuff. So, yeah, I totally bought into what he was saying, and he deserves the accolades that he gets, at least for his understanding of the craft. But at the same time, I'm never going to develop the same sort of emotional attachment to one of his games that I would to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's just not interested in delivering story.
Yeah.
Or at least not beyond the point of... Well, you know, I killed those two people in The Sims, man.
Yeah.
And that's a total thing that I'll always have. I stole that guy's wife, and she was hanging out at my place, and I got real ticked off that the husband and the kid kept showing up. So I lured him into the backyard, went into build mode, put four walls around him, waited 3 days, and they were dead. That was sort of fun. You know?
Yeah.
But
where was your attachment? Where was your intellectual involvement as far as, I don't know, those things you get out of a story, the drama, the excitement, things like that. I mean,
it was more about, it's going to sound a little strange, but it was masturbatory. That's what games like that are.
Mm-hmm.
They're totally like, here's all these really strange and fantastical tools. Here's a little piece of world building as a game. You know, do stuff with that. And it's just you and this situation. And the situation is largely determined by what you want to do. What do you want to do with yourself? What kind of thing would you like to explore? And really it sort of gets down into, how am I going to feel when I like lure the dude and the kid off into the corner and build four walls around him and don't feed him? Or let him pee for a week, you know? What happened? I got annoyed. Because when they die, they leave these stupid little headstones. And, like, then the chick would, like, wander out into the yard every other day and cry at the headstone. So I had to build, like, this giant hedgerow around it and then put a fence around that. So she'd quit wasting her time in the backyard.
Get on with her life.
Yeah. So get on with making my guy happy. Yeah. The guy's got to go to work, and then he's got to come home and play chess and work out and take a shower. It's hard. I don't have time for your crap. That was a lot of fun.
Good times.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, like I said, Will's a pretty straight shooter. I get where he's coming from, man. So, I don't agree.
And he also said what, Spore was like 6 months out?
Yeah, was that what it was?
Something like that, yeah. Well,
That sounds about right.
It wasn't 6 years.
I'm curious, but not much beyond curious.
To him, I guess maybe it's 6 months out, but I don't know. You know, I've heard so very little, really.
We'll see.
About that. So I'm telling you, it's an unlockable in Smash Brothers. It's like, where can they... You know, you said it yourself. Oh, they gave us Snake. I wonder what else they could give us. And then everybody's like, well, they can give us Sonic and really blow our minds.
Yeah.
They gave us Sonic. And now it's like, well, we're going to give you a level editor. And not a dinky move shit around level editor. You're going to be able to really do some wonderful stuff with this sort of thing. By the way, we'll let you save the films and we'll let you share them. Not only that, we'll upload some of these maps or levels or whatever that you're creating... For free, you can download them. Every day we'll have something new. A brand new map. The map of the day that you can download. Every single day. And, you know, just all these different things. And now, you know, it's like, well, what are they going to do to top this? Well, there's still Mega Man they should put in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably other things. Eventually you're going to come away with... I don't know why. From an outsider's perspective, from someone on the outside looking in, I would be angry at anyone who complains after this game's released. Why didn't they put so-and-so in here? Are you kidding me? Look at everything you've got to choose from. You know, but inevitably somebody's going to be, you know, upset that their favorite character wasn't included or some character wasn't
that
included.
Or more like you'll probably hear somebody complaining, and these might already be out there. You know, I don't want any of these things, I just want the game. But putting all this worthless shit in the game and just ship it already. Hear a lot of that stuff. Hear in Warcraft a lot when they're testing patches.
Yeah, that's true.
And, that's... Whatever. People... There's no getting around it. You shouldn't try to satisfy it. You just do your work, man.
Just amazing. It just...
There's a lot of people... You're trying to service the desires of an enormous number of people. Putting aside that many of them are petulant, insincere, disingenuous, juvenile fuckholes who just need to be angry. I mean, for God's sake, dude. I only exist as an angry guy out in the world, but I'm not all the time. I'm a largely, like, positively minded person, you know? I consider myself to be awfully realist, but at the same time, I'm not pessimistic at all. I don't like that sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to bitch about things in particular like that. But you got that many people, some of whom are going to be smacktards. But also, you're delivering one thing, and you're trying to satisfy an enormous number of people. You can't do it. Yeah. It's okay that some of them hate you because you didn't do what they wanted done. You should be proud. That's all I'm saying.
Just amazing.
I just think it's a mark of having done something right. Like, I hear it echoed a lot, but Billy Joel once said, he's like, really? The first time I got sued, I realized it wasn't a big deal. Because honestly, you're not successful if you've been sued. You've been sued, now you're doing some real work. Sure, man. You're exactly right. So, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Having said that, I sure as hell wish Blizzard would ship this fucking 2.3 patch already.
When's it due?
They don't do that. It's on the public test realms right now. The problem is that it's got a lot of fundamental changes to the way certain things in the fabric of the game work. They're changing the experience, mostly. The allocation of the experience points.
Mm-hmm.
They did a great job, but the Burning Crusade is so much better in a lot of ways than the standard game. And they realize that, so they're making some small measure of change in the old world, so to speak, to make it easier for new people to come in and be able to make up the difference in levels, and also for existing people to make alts, because they realize that keeping their existing user base is what makes them a lot of money. It's why they have, you know, money fortresses and giant, you know, moons and space stations built of money or whatever the hell they do. You guys are rolling in it, man.
Yeah.
And frankly, it's because they're making the only worthwhile MMO on the fucking market. Stuff is in beta or shipping left and right. I mean, that's a relative sort of statement, considering that MMOs just don't roll out. I mean,
yeah.
Regular game development is brisk compared to MMO development. Yeah. So it's just nobody can really get it right. I don't know if they're all trying to kill Warcraft, which is probably the issue. They all want to take a swing at it, and they miss. Stop trying to take a swing at it.
I wouldn't even attempt, yeah.
Don't. You will fail. That's it. It's like the spruce fucking goose of MMOs, man. It's too big. It's too ambitious. And the thing that will kill it is it'll die under its own weight. It's too popular, which means that it has too many people, and because a percentage of them will never be satisfied with the direction they take the game, ultimately that number will become critical.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I you know, I still think that EVE Online is the darling. And they are actually, I got their online newsletter in my inbox a while back, and they were talking about rolling out their next content update, and it's going to be a complete overhaul of the... as well as adding a bunch of new shit, like as well as adding lots of new constant stuff, they're basically, to some extent, trading up with the graphics engine, which is a big deal because a lot of the assets in that game really are kind of dated. For something so pretty, it's still a little bit fugly close up when you look at some of your ships. And as your ship is the only thing you'll ever have, you know, you've got a static representation of your face and then your ship, and that ship looks like every other ship like it. There are no distinctions, so... Eh. But it's got a lot of meat on its bones, so it isn't... The game isn't all about just being pretty and you know, satisfying at all sorts of shallow levels, I guess. It's
mm-hmm.
it's real... I get amused when people in World of Warcraft talk about PvP. I mean, I think it's perfectly fine, but there's always some kind of banter between people who do play PvP and people who don't. And it's like seriously, somehow the people who play PvP are really, really serious and people who play PvE aren't. And it's like, it's just ridiculous. If I want to play against other people, I got COD 4 coming in another week.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. And if I really needed to do it in an MMO environment, you know, a static world, Eve would chew your fucking head off if you think that PvP and WoW is serious.
Mm.
It's real stuff. Can't. 1,000 times I'll probably proselytize that game.
And going back to the level editing and Super Smash Brothers for just a minute.
Really? Only a minute?
Yeah.
Actually, we can go back to it longer than that, because I honestly expect you to be a bit more excited about it.
Well,
and I get what you said earlier,
yeah.
Which was that...
One thing, I just don't expect there to be all that much, you know, to do in the level editor, because you're still mostly doing the same thing. And Smash Brothers levels are, you know, a little bit of variety for doing the same thing, you know, beating up the other guys. But also, you know, now that... I mean, it's like... About a month ago, there was no user-created content on the consoles.
Yeah.
And now, like, everybody's releasing level editors. You know, well, not everybody. Like, Halo did it, sort of. And,
right.
Unreal
level
Tournament.
Level modifier.
Yeah, user configurable. Level monitor. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, Unreal Tournament, man, that's...
We'll let you rearrange the furniture, but you can't.
But when UT3, you know, does the... You know, you can create whatever you want on the PC and just export it to the PS3, and you can download whatever you want. You don't have to go through some centralized location.
That's pretty high.
That's a high bar.
Yeah, man.
And
it's like, well, we did. What was it, last week? We were talking about this.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
A lot.
And man, Nintendo's not going to let you do that. As long as it's the same Nintendo that does friend codes, as long as there's the possibility of somebody arranging stuff to look like a giant cock,
yeah.
We're going to let people just, you know. Make levels and ship them out to everybody else.
No,
they
got to
control that.
Right. You're absolutely right.
The best example of how much that knife kind of twists that I'm still stuck in console land is when I hear that somebody's created new Portal maps.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh crap, I want to go play those. Like, there's probably no you know, GLaDOS talking to you. Other than maybe some...
Remixing stuff that already exists.
Remixing stuff that already existed, so you're not hearing anything new, which is really what I want to hear. come on.
You're ready for another campaign.
Tell me I'm horrible. Tell me I'm going to die without any friends. Tell me I'm adopted. Come on, think of something else. Tell me both of my parents died. Oh. so you know what I'm saying. But when I hear that new Portal maps are available, I'm like, God. I really want to play those.
Yeah,
and I guess I could, but that's just on a different level than COD 4. Somebody's going to do something with those maps.
Yeah,
somebody's going to create something.
I will say,
PC.
In a multiplayer game, there's a little bit to be said about that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The thing is, some of the best stuff I've ever played in multiplayer environments have been user-made content. Either gameplay, changes to the basic gameplay like Renegades and the old tribes, or just simply new maps. I'm always more of a fan of new maps. I generally tend to stick closer to the basic gameplay elements,
mm-hmm.
What was shipped with the game. But the problem is, because it relies on client-side data so much, like a lot of what happens, or at least used to, when you get out there in the first-person shooter world, you get on a random server. You ping a bunch of servers. Hey, this one looks good. It's got 4 slots open, which means there's plenty of people playing. You want to hop on there and like play through the map cycle, but you know it's this server running Billy Bobob Brain's map pack. And if you don't have Billy Bobob Brain's map pack downloaded, you're not playing. So you can click to join, and maybe it'll allow client downloads, maybe not. Maybe you have to visit the Jackholes website to get the things, and I swear to God, you don't want to do that. You never, ever want to do that. Right? So suddenly it's become very complicated. Or maybe they've enabled some small modification to the gameplay that you're not accustomed to, which means everybody has a leg up over you. I mean, it's the ground is constantly shifting under your feet. And I think it's great, but you want to talk about unified architecture, I like the architecture of a multiplayer game to be fairly unified so that I know everybody's playing the same thing.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Had that problem in Tribes because I like to play vanilla Tribes. I played ladder matches and stuff. And I just liked, you know, they allowed for a lot of client-side scripting, so you could kind of change your UI and stuff a lot, which is really cool. But as far as the gameplay type, I liked the standard gameplay, capture the flag, 10 versus 10, it was really great. A lot of people didn't. They used it as a platform to create other modifications. Those were people I never got to play with because I didn't like what they were doing. So, again, having more control over it on the console side to make sure that, like, it's easier for everybody to be on an even footing results in a better gameplay experience. Assuming, of course, everyone likes what's there to begin with. This, I'm thinking, is how life in COD 4 on the 360 will be. I think it'll expand greatly on the PC, but it loses some of its identity. Whereas if you talk COD 4, you know, on the 360, when you talk about such and such a type of encounter in a particular game type on this map, everyone knows what that means.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what this piece of cover and this kind of weapon and this collection of perks on this map, they know what it means because it's the same across all. Yeah.
The L-shaped house or the...
Seriously.
The sniper house or whatever else you want to call it.
There has to be some sort of collective understanding.
And an office, the hallway.
That disappears somewhat when user... made content.
What was the one on the on Crash?
Which one? The Blue House?
Yeah, the hardware store. No, it wasn't a hardware store. It was the deli.
No. Yeah, we called it the deli, but it was a hardware store because there were like there were work lights and shit in it. All I'm saying is that the walls were tiled just like in a butcher shop.
Yeah.
And it was a meat case, for fuck's sake. If it was a hardware store, there'd have been shelves. Why the hell is there a work light in a fucking meat case? It's stupid. It's a deli.
It was just fun hearing people say that, you know? That was one of the running jokes that you'd have going through there. It's like,
go to the deli. Okay, whatever, but he's in the deli.
He's in that room.
You know what the hell I'm talking about.
It's good stuff.
Oh, it was so good.
There was just a lot of
the only moments. You know, I just, as a primer for you, the only real problem is that it's so fast-paced. Like, when you first get in there, you're like, okay, whatever just happened.
Yeah, you're really,
dead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I'm dead again. That's
you're really disoriented when you first play.
Because it's just bam, bam, bam. It's like all those old PC shooters we would play. It's that kind of pace.
I didn't think I would play it again after I jumped in there late one night. Really didn't think I would play it very much. I got in there, I think I got to, like, level 2. And then I quit. Because I was just like, I can't figure out what's going on. Something's going on that I can't figure out. And then I jumped into a game with other people and just started playing a little bit more. And it all came into focus. And I was like,
did such a good job. And pretty much everybody has that experience.
Yeah.
It translates really well to the controller. There, you know, obviously it's better with mouse and keyboard, but it's good. It's good. It's a testament that there are a number of PC-centric gamers who would prefer to have it on the 360. And this is largely because of the community, but
yeah,
still, it's good. I hope you get on there and enjoy it.
That's the other thing. I won't play. You know, I was going to say this about Eye of Judgment. I think I've kind of gotten spoiled from Call of Duty 4 playing with people I know. That was my first... I've been at Evil Avatar for God knows how long now. I've been going to that place and signed up or whatever. But that was the first... I want to play with the Evil Avatar guys. I don't want to jump into this by myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in there alone. I want to be in there with some people that I know.
Yeah, man. Playing Halo 3 with the Evil Avatar guys was a...
totally different experience.
Yeah, it was.
It's the enjoyable experience.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I...
And so, you know, and Eye of Judgment
is the
same
way. Every
time
I'd play with new Evil Avatar guys, I'd send out friend requests. Because anytime I decided I wanted to pop in Halo 3 and play, well, that meant I wanted to play with those guys.
It's the same thing
with
anything on
PS3. I didn't
want to
play with anybody else.
I won't play. That's just the way it shaped me. I will not play alone anymore. I will not just jump into a random online game. I did it for Guitar Hero 3 just because I'd gotten it early and nobody else had it. And I just wanted to see what the online part of it was. But do I want to do that now? No, I want to send an invite to whoever else is playing it on my friends list. Mm-hmm. And play with them.
Yeah, it's how we are as people and as gamers.
But I never was before this, though, because I wasn't really, a part of the community.
But that thing is, it teaches you how much better that mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
It works the same way in Warcraft or any MMO. Like, I can get with a bunch of random people and go run an instance. I can run through a dungeon with some guys. I've done it before. Whatever, I don't do it anymore. I'm not saying that they've all been disastrous, but you run through some shit, and it's like, I know you, we don't have to be like, we don't have to worry who the dumbass is in the group. If there is a dumbass, it's a buddy, so it's like, well, you know, everything's
cool.
You know,
there's some reason you like him.
Yeah, like everything, there's a minimum understanding of...
I just caught that now.
Yeah. I'm not saying...
No, I don't think you are.
But yeah, I've been like that for years because, you know, you and me and Bullet Food and Kevin, you know, used to play games together. And then after that, it's like, man, I don't want to play online with just a bunch of random assholes. Mm-mm. It's not enjoyable.
I can sort of do it, but I've got to not need them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I could jump into... Day of Defeat used to be my calisthenics.
Yeah.
You know? And I would jump in, and I had, like... They would do, like, stat tracking for individual servers. They had, like, 5 favorited servers, you know? And I could jump to them and do what I wanted. And it was okay. I knew what maps they had in rotation. I would see some of the same names around. But it's just, like, run, run, shoot. Capture the fucking objective, throw a grenade, try to be smart, slicing the pie around the corner, run, run, shoot. Like, there was no... I don't want to talk to you. If you're talking, you're not shooting, which means you're doing something wrong. So it was simply a question of getting on there and playing. And they had the whole... The best way to keep people from being dickheads in an online game is to make the game good. When people get bored, that's when they become assholes. When they're not getting any input. When they're not really good, or they're so good that they're bored, or there's not really that much interesting or satisfying, or you know, the gameplay is really weak. That's when they get bored and they do stupid shit. So,
yeah.
So for a game that's built so tightly that those things are never problems, I can play with a pug group.
Yeah.
Other than that, but I mean, all things being equal, and in every other case, I prefer playing with my people. Just, and you'll go to great lengths to make sure you get in with your people. But it's good. I like it. I found that Call of Duty was even fine, even if there were only 3 of us, you know? Even if it was a mixed team, as long as I got a friend or two.
No, I was fine with that too, as long as I was playing with some friends.
I can't wait.
Loved it. And I'm hoping, this is what I was hoping for, and I don't know if it's in there or not, but I hope so much that they allow us to have a group. Like, you have to understand, if you had more than 6 people on your team, whenever you would go into matchmaking, it would split your team.
Yeah, it was really,
because it's only 6-on-6. So if you had more people, then it would put them on the other team. But it wouldn't let you, I think you could have like 1 or 2 extra to go into team deathmatch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had any more than that, it's like, no, you got too many people. We're not even going to split you. You've got too many people on your team. What I want them to do is let us get a lobby of 12 people and then go to team deathmatch, and it puts us all on separate teams.
That's something we're supposed to be getting, though, right?
We should,
in a custom game.
Yeah, we should be able to.
Which is fine. As long as... I imagine we'll be kind of hindered. The ranking process will be a little bit hindered in that respect. Which sort of sucks, man, because I need my Bill and Ted power cord every time I do something really cool and level something up, you know?
I need to isolate that out of you.
I don't even know if you've heard that yet, man, but I'm just... The simple act of... They have so many little
things.
Find
it on YouTube. Just find Call of Duty multiplayer on YouTube. I'm sure it's...
I'm going to wait until I get the game.
It's good, man. The first time you do something where you level up, it's just like... Oh, yeah.
As jacked up as everybody is about it, I don't have to read anything else to know that I'm going to enjoy it. So I may as well just wait and see and let it all hit me at once.
Yeah, it's really diesel shit, man. I love it.
When is that coming out?
It should be in stores the 6th.
A week from tomorrow.
Is it shipping the 6th?
Shit.
It's going to be... That's going to be a ship date. It's always a ship date.
Man, I'm so glad it's coming out in the middle of my rehearsal week. That's great. You know how much time I'll have to play it. At least it's an easy show I'm running. Oh, wait. No, it isn't. It's going to be a fucking nightmare. God, they always do this crap to me. What happened last time? What came out when I was rehearsing? Something came out when I was rehearsing. I was pretty pissed off. I don't know. Always happens to me. I'm always in rehearsal. Welcome to theater.
It always happens around this time of year.
Dude, it happens every 6 weeks. Oh, well.
I just know it was last year because...
Yeah.
I didn't see you at Thanksgiving, and I didn't see you at, I think you got sick over Christmas.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
The whole point of it was, though, is like...
I was working for people
working.
Who were sick.
So then the one day he gets off, like Thanksgiving, he doesn't want to really go anywhere. And I kind of understand that feeling. I like staying at home, especially if I got to work. I mean, like, Sundays are my day. Sundays, yeah, I don't leave the house on Sundays. I make it a point not to leave the house because it's like that's my one day. I don't have to get in the car. I don't have to drive anywhere. I'm gonna stay here. So I totally get it when his one day off is on a holiday, where everybody else is getting together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your day to be like, this is my only day. This is my only day.
Yeah. That's
for the past couple of weeks. I haven't been able to play this game, this game, this game. This is my only day to get some of this in and really enjoy it, and not just play real quick, go to bed. You know.
That's why Mondays are so hard for me, because I'm almost always on a six-day schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's cool. Sometimes I've got the day. Sometimes I've got the night. But if I've got the night off, that means I got to get up at the butt crack.
Yeah.
So I don't have much of it. And if I'm on during the day, it's like, I don't care what game you're playing, whether it's something on live or an MMO. Daytime is just for farting around.
Mm-hmm.
People play together at night. So...
You look at how many people you've got on your friends list on during the day, and then compare that with that
same how many at night. Yeah,
yeah,
it's that's cool. That's kind of how it should work. It's just that my schedule's not conducive to that. And then Mondays for me is like, you know, I pay bills, I catch up on news that I haven't been able to see for a while. I largely just prep for the show, try to get my head back where I need to be to talk about stuff. So it's weird. Hopefully that can. I don't know. To be doing more of this and less of the other thing. That's for sure.
I would love to get paid to do this show.
And not just this show.
And to get
there's
paid
so
enough
many,
to only
so many,
do this show.
There's so many things we could do sort of secondary to this, just generally speaking in terms of involvement with the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Both professionally or semi-professionally and amateurishly or whatever. I don't know. Restless.
Yeah.
Getting old and restless. Tired. You spend a lot of your cycles working for... You work. And you realize it's all for someone else. And, you know, it's particularly frustrating, or can be, when you work... When your job is in, like, the arts or something. But... Everything that you're doing is to fulfill someone else's ideal in an artistic and creative sense, with nothing of your own mixed into it, not really, just your labor. That has a very, I'm not saying it's worse or better or anything, it's just a very particular kind of frustration, because you're not necessarily, you're giving birth to it at some level, or you're, I don't know, you're midwifing it. But it's not yours. It's someone else's. And that, if you have any desire, drive, any particular yen to do something creative, it's very frustrating. Because you spend, you know, 40 to 90 hours a week, depending on the situation, birthing someone else's baby. Suckage.
Yep. It is.
I'm going to figure it out. Dana's a saint and she makes a lot more money than I do, so hopefully she'll be tolerant the day I come home. And
well, I did it.
Yep. Well.
I sang the Johnny Paycheck song.
Yeah,
and,
and now it's time to polish that portfolio. Oh, well.
I wonder about the day when that'll happen for me.
We've talked about it.
You know, I work
give
here.
Us a call when you get out here. That's what you're gonna. That's what you're gonna find.
Yeah.
It's how it works. It's how it works.
Yeah.
Telling me you. It's not that hard. I've known people who have done. I've known people who've picked up and left everything and moved to somewhere else with nothing. I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite on such a big scale, and not when I had so much of my actual life at stake. It was back when I wasn't savvy enough to realize that just showing up and crashing on someone's couch wasn't the kindest way to say hi after a year and a half. You know, but that was, you know, that was 15 years ago. I was all right. I was young and stupid. Now I'm old and stupid, and I know better. But the point is, it's not that hard. It's the idea that it's hard that kind of keeps you bound up in that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
let's go.
It's the fear of falling.
Ah, whatever, man. Whatever. How far have you got to fall?
I don't
honestly
know. I don't know.
No. I'm serious. Think, itemize the physical things that you've got to deal with. The things that you own, the people that you are both legally and deeply morally attached to, you realize that you're not as dug in and immobile as you think. Nobody really is. Even people that have a lot of baggage, quote unquote, doesn't mean you can't move it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can go somewhere. Whatever, man. We're in a place where there ain't shit going on. Man, there ain't shit happening in this place, and you know it. There is nothing going on here. You're talking about going someplace where there's a tremendous amount of goings on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you figure out how to do something in a place where there's nothing, I personally believe you can go somewhere where there's something and flourish to some extent. The rule set's a little bit different, but whatever. It's cool. It's perfectly fine. It's hard a little bit, but anything worth doing is at least a little bit hard. So
do it, and I'll follow. Do it, and I'll follow. Really? Do it, and I'll follow.
I give you the whole, you know, move mountains speech, and you tell me, oh, yeah, I'll follow you. That's cool.
Yeah, do it, and I'll follow.
All right, well, I...
Because I'm not saying, it's not my belief that you can't.
You know? Man, by hook, by crook,
yeah.
By any means, I gotta get out of here. Gotta get out of here. No, it's perfectly fine. It's a better, you know, there are better places. We're going. That's all there is to it. It's simply a question of.
By the way, the weather that we've experienced these past few days is the weather I experienced in August when I went to PAX, and that was motherfucking August.
Yeah, they're in the like 40s and 50s right now.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I fucking love it.
I would give a lot to be up there, and if I were single, and it was just me, I would have gone a long time ago. I would have just made ridiculous, ill-advised moves. I know people who have done it, and a whole lot of them have failed at it. But whatever, man, it's a different place with a lot of the same kind of people, better people, in my opinion. But whatever, nice place to be. I really want to be closer to the heart of where things are happening with what we love.
No,
I mean, I really feel like we're broadcasting from the edge of civilization sometimes. I'm not kidding. I really do. It's like, I got a lot to say, man, but like, I can't hook up with anybody of any. We can't like really get together with the people.
We got these people on the phone. We got these people on the phone. We can have them in the studio.
Yeah.
Stop on by. Come in and be on the show. You know, I don't know. It's
fine. It'll be fine. You gotta trust me. It'll be fine.
I think, you know, it's just one of those. It's just one of those barriers. It's one of those confidence things. One of those barriers of success and of failure and those type of things that are holding me personally back, not you. I'm not saying it is.
Yeah.
But if I can see somebody I know go out there and do it, it builds up my confidence more into thinking, okay, it can be done. I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I've watched, working in this industry, I've seen people leave here with saying that, oh man, it's just going to be great. And then I hear about them.
Land of milk and honey, man. And
I hear about them months or even a year later, and it's failed on them. And I'm like, holy shit. There was someone that worked here way back when. She had this job offer with this great company in Mississippi, just right next door to us, at a radio station. And she's like, they're giving me this station, and I want to bring you on board, and it'll be great. And I got to the point where she was sending me the apartment home books from that area and stuff. Hey, look around, this sort of thing, blah, 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 come on out. And I was getting very close to doing it, because it was very promising. And then I don't know if I talked to somebody or if it just changed my mind or whatever. 6 months, 8 months later, she's living with her parents. The company went under, you know, failed on her. And I'm, you know, and I was really close to making that move, and I didn't do it, and I'm glad I didn't. So it's one of those things you kind of see, you see birds falling out of the sky, and you're like, why do I want to fucking fly? You know? But yeah, I do. I want to. You still want
so
to
you
do
can
it.
Shit on things from the air.
Yeah. That's what I want. That's got to be an amazing feeling.
I'm shit on that guy's car. No, it'll be fine, man. It's like you don't know anybody out there. Like, we don't have people out there.
Yeah.
I don't have that many people here.
True.
You guys are like 75% of my people.
Two people in a room, we're 75% of this guy's life.
Yep. I don't necessarily mean in meaningfulness, of course. I'm talking.
No, I understand. Bulbs. Yeah, no, I understand.
Oh, well.
No, I get it. I mean,
it'll be fine. Trust me.
I want to be closer to this industry.
You'll like working at McDonald's much more on the Northwest Coast than you will here. When you fail miserably.
Yeah.
Failure, boy.
I want to play life on easy.
And
why can't life be the tutorial?
It is. It's called elementary school.
Why didn't that last longer?
I have no idea. That was a really bad idea to stop doing all of that.
Because napping during the middle of the day was wonderful.
Where the hell did those go? Who thought that was a good idea? We're going to stop doing this. We'll all be way better off if we stop sleeping enough. Fucking stupid.
They took away show and tell day. They took away everything.
That really sucked. I used to take my Transformers in for show.
I stole a guy's Transformers.
Did you really?
Yeah. He brought in a Prime. I didn't have a Prime. I don't know why. I should have had a Prime. Every kid had a Prime.
Right.
But I didn't have the Prime. And he showed it off, and the kids loved it, and he put it in his little cubby box, and I fucking stole it.
Good job.
Parents found out, I had to take it back, and I was ridiculed. I was klepto, man. They had all these cool toys. They had the Ewok Village. I would take little pieces, cool, piece by piece, from the Ewok Village. I would take it home.
How very great escape of you. Did you, like...
I didn't get very far.
And drop them out of a hole through your pant leg or something.
Just, I would take this one piece and, like, I don't know if I put it in my lunchbox or put it in my jacket or hide it somewhere, but I'd have this one piece of the toy and I would take it home and I'd take another piece home. It wouldn't be day after day, but from what I remember, Jesus, what was wrong with me? I wanted to belong. I wanted the cool shit. And so if somebody else liked the toy, I was going
to
take it.
It's pretty hard to
deal with having to download the torrent.
I don't want to deal with having to go to the store, man.
Well, that's why I go to, man, like, the marketplace, where I use Netflix. I mean, it comes in.
You know, talk about.
Whereas I'm sure torrent probably there was a.
It was probably there before already Tuesday. There.
Yeah. I watched Meet the Robinsons, which we talked about on our only recorded show.
I have a hard time with that stuff just because. I mean, I know movies, whatever. I don't want to try to validate any particular aspect.
Are you kidding
of the
me?
Argument,
look at my TV,
like,
as well. Look at a torrent on a fucking 17-inch monitor.
That's another thing. I just don't.
You can watch them on your TV in high def.
How?
I don't understand.
the same way I do.
Which is?
Hook up a media player to your TV and stream it across the network.
Have you seen how much shit is hooked up to my TV already?
You don't have wireless?
Yeah, I got wireless.
I mean, oh, how much shit is hooked up to your TV already? Well, you know.
Yeah.
But see, you're talking about...
You'll buy, like, a Blu-ray player and an HD DVD player and hook those up to your TV. But the thing that would substitute for both of those, you won't hook that up. It's like...
I think you're talking a relative value, though. You're trying to sell him on something with a degree of value that's meaningful to you, but not to him. I don't want to torrent something because it's... That shit's more tangible than karma. Raw energy out of the ether and transmute it with my own time and effort into something that people would then give me money for, because it takes a lot of time to do it. And personally, I think it's very someone else's line when you don't buy their shit. I know that it might suck, but it's like, I really want to see this movie. That's the criteria in my mind for paying for a movie.
Oh, yeah. If I really want to see it, I will pay for it. And I do. I go to the theater if there's a movie I really want to see.
But it's like,
I could have easily pirated, like, Portal to play it.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, I don't know how to make the judgment of, like, oh, this is okay to pirate, this isn't. It's like, this, just because I don't personally have a huge stake in this, doesn't mean... If I torrented it, I still wanted to see it. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean like wanted to see it, but I still wanted to see it. And that is the point at which you pay for something, in my opinion, because that is the fundamental, unspoken, basic contract. I did this. Want to take a look? Yeah. Give me $8. No. And then you don't see it. Or, okay. That's kind of how it works, in my opinion. Whether the thing turns out to be good or bad is not a consideration. Whether I ever write anything worthy of being saleable fiction, but I would certainly like for someone to give me, you know...
Well, I'm not of your moral caliber, then. It's not because my line comes when... Would I pay for it? No. And then I torrent it if I'm still interested in seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where it is, but it's not a moral consideration at all. That's my point, is it's not moral. It's not even ethical. For me, in my mind, it comes entirely from a point of self-preservation. That, like, do you believe in this? Do you believe in something? I'm not talking about at a moral level. I'm saying, do you understand a situation or a scenario or an industry as a whole, something to be worthy of earning money? Is that okay? Because I just find it really hard to... I don't think there's anything morally wrong with torrenting something. I will not get into that discussion because I think, frankly speaking, if the various media outlets that people torrent from had done their fucking job and given us an affordable, workable interface and methodology for getting the shit we wanted, if something like iTunes, only better, had been around before Napster came out, Napster wouldn't have been such a huge issue. But frankly speaking, I don't want to go buy a goddamn CD and rip it onto my hard drive. I want that shit on my hard drive now. And they could have made it happen, but they didn't, because they're goddamn dinosaurs, they're unwieldy, and they won't move. So I think it's what they get. But that doesn't mean I want to spread the infection.
I do. I would rather go back personally to a time when, you know, people were... you know, paid directly for the creation of their art instead of it being, you know, all this money going to publishers. I like the, you know, traveling bard concept of a musician more, where you're paid.
You sound like you're getting ready to sell. You're a hippie selling cheese sandwiches out of the back of his van at a Dead concert.
I'm on the losing side of the argument.
No, it's not about being losing or winning. You're talking about, I want to go back. And I think,
well,
God, it's
back
cheesy,
or forward, but it's... I don't know.
I don't think there is a back. I hate the music industry, but at the same time, I understand that the cost of mounting a tour is tremendous, and that a tour is a lot of what goes into, like, selling a lot of records. Like, I know it's much dirtier than that, but if you just want to look at that, I can understand where it's like, hey, why don't you come sign with our label? We think you're new, we think you're hip, we think you're upcoming and you're really cool or whatever. We're going to spend a shitload of money on you. And like, on the outset, we need you to go be good and then like do your thing and generate all this stuff. I understand that the idea is that the publisher was the one who made it possible. The concept of the promoter goes really, really far back. There had to be a guy with the contacts, with the funds, with the ability to get something started. I know that we've moved a little bit beyond that, you know.
I think we've moved a lot beyond that, at least in the music industry.
I think the technology has moved a lot beyond that, but I don't think people's willingness to access it and really implement it has moved far beyond it. People just aren't willing to do it. It's not, the situation as it is isn't bad enough. That's kind of how I see it. I don't know, but again, none of that ever factors into it because I have a hard time thinking that it's going to be okay at any point in time in the future for me to ask for money for something I created when I have been unwilling to provide it for something someone else has done. I think it is a betrayal of the creative act because we all want to sell out. Everybody who creates something needs to sell out. It's your time and money and sweat and blood and tears. You need something back for it. It's better if you get something back for it because it means you can do it more. And I have a real hard time thinking, you know, I just need this. I don't want it. I'm not going to pay for it, but I'm going to have it. And I don't like it. But again, I will never drag out an apple crate or a soapbox to bitch about it because I understand there are different motivations on the other side. And I will state that I think it's what they deserve. It's what they get for not responding in a better way sooner. For me and my money, I'll pay for it. That's just how it is. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm not being ripped off. I go in knowing exactly what I'm paying for pretty much every time. I don't have a problem with it. And I never think, God, I wish I had pirated this. It never enters my mind. I think this is a shitty game or, you know, this thing over here sucks, but I can't.
Glad I saw that at a matinee.
Man, I wish I'd pirated Transformers instead of going to see it.
Yeah.
I end up in so many instances where I wish I had not given Company X my money because they turn around and screw me with it, is what it comes down to.
Did they screw you on Transformers?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
How did they do that? They said, we made this movie, here's the price of entry. I don't see any screwing going on. Screwing would have been, here's the movie, here's the price of entry, fuck you, here's a different movie. And that's not what happened. There was no screwing. You just didn't get what you wanted. You say you wish you'd have pirated it. I say I wish it had simply been good.
Here's Pirates. It starts at 9. Wait a second. You're in the wrong theater. You've got to wait
until
10.
And it goes beyond that. They take your money and then turn it around and put rootkits on CDs that get in your computer and do, you know, whatever. They, you know, use it to pass legislation that benefits them by extending copyright terms. They take your money and use it to increase their grip over the things you wish that you had more control over.
And that's totally cool because you can decide that you're not going to give them your money the same way you wouldn't, the same way that I would never give money to the Republican National Committee. You know, I would never do that because I don't like the way they would spend it. But
the Republican National Committee doesn't hold like 75% of popular culture in its grip.
I know, deciding it's an analogy, God help me for ever bringing that into it. I know what you're saying. I don't believe in the moral objection except to say that it's only moral in terms of it being self-preservation, not a God and country moral.
Right.
I don't believe in that. That shit doesn't exist. It should never be the reason why you do anything. I'm just saying it's a thoughtful reason why I don't do it. It's not a protestation. It's not anything. I just think...
I get really jazzed about, like, you know, buying MP3s from Jonathan Colton's website.
Yeah, man.
I get really jazzed about going to the Bowling for Soup concert and buying their t-shirts, even though I pirated all of their albums. Bought 3 t-shirts from them, and then bought the CD from the little, you know, indie band that was playing for them, because they were really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't on a major label. I sometimes even feel really bad about buying games from publishers.
Yeah, did you buy that little indie band because chances are you probably weren't going to be able to find a torrent of them.
I figured I could probably find a torrent of them.
Yeah.
But
you're that much of a bloodhound.
They were good. Well, I knew I was probably going to have to, because the only CD they had was their newest one. I talked about the other songs that like weren't on the CD, which was actually most of the songs I liked. He's like, well, they're on iTunes. I was like, well, no. I'm not buying DRM.
I do like that ability
music.
That Jonathan's given you, where it's like you can buy directly from me. I like that ability that Telltale Games has, where you can go to their website and buy directly, same as Valve, through Steam.
Yeah.
I like being able to give the people who have made what I am enjoying.
And that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
I also think it's really important to vote with your dollar. If you don't like the way that iTunes manages their shit, then you shouldn't spend any money on iTunes, and that's all there is to it. Or you want to really vote with your shit, target your damn dollars at the stuff that's DRM free.
Yeah.
Like, that's really good. But again, that's not even, it's close to, but it's not right on point with the piracy issue. I'm just not going to do it because I want to be in the position that some of these people are in someday, where you do enough business with what you're creating that you can continue to create. And I like the idea, man, and I support the idea as much as humanly possible, even if it's an enormous dinosaur of a corporate entity. I'll pay to go see Transformers. Why? Because I want to see Transformers. I don't necessarily think that what's going to be on the screen is good. I want to go see, though. And I paid my dollars, and I thought it was a shitty movie. But, you know, it's like sending back an empty plate. This meal was shit. I want my money back. Well, why'd you eat it? You know? So, it's... But it's a difference. Maybe I'll write a book someday and you'll pirate that shit. How about that?
I probably will.
Ah, fuck you. I'll send you a copy.
Exactly. I'll get a free copy for him anyway. Signed, no less. Or maybe you'll have to pay for the signature. The autograph comes. Yeah, see? Can't torrent a signature. You can't download.
I'll probably be a dick and mail it to you COD.
Remember that talk we had?
You'll send it to me in Sony ebook format.
That's right, man.
Buy the audiobook off of iTunes.
That's funny.
Yeah, if you ever do a book and you do an audiobook, I want to read it.
Do an audiobook?
You know what I'm saying, like when it's sold as an audio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to read it. As read by some no-name jerk, whatever.
I don't have a novel in me. I can't do that. There are a lot of guys that think they have novels in them. I can't do that. I can't think straight for that long. But you better buy my short story collection.
I'll read that one.
All right.
Yeah,
that's
good enough
to stop. Morning. I'm going to be angry.
Same as any other day.